Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
Good evening. How are you? It's Jacob. In for Ian Lee. Catherine is here. All right. Good. Let's catch up with the latest news headlines.
Jacob, in for late night Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Love to love?
I do, but you know what that is?
What?
The sound of a woman barking up the wrong tree.
Can I say? Royal butlers.
Well, and also that show we were watching just now.
Yeah.
The Very British Hotel.
Hmm.
I may be wrong.
You might be wrong.
And you know, people come in all shapes and sizes. But you know when you watch a couple and you think...
Come
he
on.
Loves to dance and she loves to love.
Hmm. Most men don't love to dance.
If it's on a plate and they're choosing disco over...
That said, there's a very occasion, I'm talking about once a decade, there's a moment in the right location with the right tune when, come on.
But still, if she's putting it on a plate and he wants to crack out just one more move...
What's wrong with that? Some of my moves. You're talking about the guy who, in one night, won best karaoke and best dancer at the BBC Club. And was then asked to leave.
Oh.
All in one night.
Is it because you'd peaked?
It's because I love to love.
My wedding day.
Yeah.
Was remarkable for a number of reasons.
I dare say.
But also, it was the sight of a bride doing the running man in a fishtail dress.
Ah!
Oh, yes!
I'm there! They said it couldn't be done.
I remember one old gentleman sidling up to me as I was doing the Shakira dance, Hips Don't Lie, saying, married women don't dance like that, kids. I said, this one does. I love a boogie. I haven't had a boogie for ages.
I think, I'm sorry, and I know this is still heresy, you know, but I just need to make you grateful for Ian's return on Monday, should he decide to call off his strike, should
the DJ version of ACAS.
Yeah. What's he actually holding out for, really?
Some begging, I think.
A presenter who doesn't just talk about what's in the papers. I mean, it's, you know, dare to dream.
I love to love.
That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's trying to do a big playlist for me. But you know, disco was king. That's what I want to. All that 60s.
Yeah, but disco's never that king, is it?
Like no one ever heard the Beach Boys and go, oh, got to dance.
Oh come.
Did
on.
They? Did they?
Mm.
I take my jumper. Off. Did they though?
You taking your jumper off?
Yeah, it's quite warm now.
Already, it's only like 5 minutes.
Well, it's
in.
Because I love to dance.
I love to love.
Love to love. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, a song like that, or, you know, that first piano gliss of Dancing Queen. Like, tell me the Beach Boys can do that. They're not floor fillers. I'm sorry. They're four fellas, but they're not floor fillers.
Oh, I see what you did
Are they
there.
Four fillers? I have no idea. I'm guessing.
I think there's more than
I'm praying for luck. It doesn't matter.
They were four.
03444991000. That was a call, obviously. We need to pick today's safe word. Your suggestions.
Tina.
Welcome you. Yeah, Burrell. Whatever you want. 03444991000. Obviously, once we've established the safe word, and we'll do that within the first half hour, then you can invoke that whenever you need to during the show. If you'd like us to just stop whatever we're doing and move on, and I would ask you to bear in mind that Ken was listening recently, may still be listening. We've also got some choose your own adventure erotica coming up later on. So it's probably a good idea for us to establish what we're going to have as our. Safe word. 03444991000 is the number to call.
Or you can text us.
You can text us if you want to.
Text talk and your message to 87222.
That's good.
Yeah.
Although I think the official line is 222.
Is
I think
it?
You're supposed to say
8-7-2-2 or 2-2-2. It might triple be. 2-2.
I think you're supposed to say 2-2-2.
Okay. Well.
You know, you get the edict from on high saying this is how you're going to say the phone number. You
they
can't
never
say,
bothered to tell me.
You can't say 03-4-4. You can't do that, but you no. do say 2-2-2.
Oh. Okay. Well, it's 8-7.
It's
2-2-2.
Just it doesn't matter.
Just do it.
Oh, do you know? You reach a certain point, right? As a man.
Oh. You're on your own. I can't help.
No. Well, I've started growing, and this has happened sort of in the last 3 or 4 years. First, it was just one, you know, and then nothing for a few months. Mm-hmm. I've started growing old man eyebrows.
Ah. Okay.
It's incredible.
Right. The alternative to that, the female version of that, is the random hair.
Yeah.
Where you'll get one coming out the side of your cheek.
I get one, yeah.
On your chest.
The top of my ear.
Ooh. And you kind of wonder how they get as long as they do before you spot them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how often does one do a full body inventory, really?
Well, I, you know, as a woman, I look at my face every day very carefully because I put makeup on it. But I can get that, yeah, a man might not be quite so thorough.
Once every 6-7 months.
So how do you get one coming out your cheek? You know, a good 4 centimetres long before you spot it.
I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, clearly it doesn't happen to me. But I have friends.
Yeah, obviously. But, yeah, they're just, at first it was just like one. I was like, whoa, that's a lot. And now they're like, they want to bush. They want to go proper kind of historian or whatever that 80s MP was.
Have you got, yes, have you got the earlobe on yet?
Earlobe?
Yeah, you get them on your earlobes.
No, top of the ear. Top of the ear.
Right, okay.
James has suggested boogie as our safe word.
Boogie.
Boogie's all right.
Boogie.
Do you like some boogie? Keep your suggestions coming, 8-7-2-2.
Have you got lip balm on?
Yeah, I have.
You look glossy.
Do I?
Yeah, no, it looks great. Like
the thing is, it's really natural, right? It's all natural. No, there's nothing artificial. It's all natural. She didn't talk like that. I think she was German. It's made of coconut oil.
Mm.
But now I just slightly taste of stale coconut oil.
It's
just a bit sickly.
Well, it's looking good.
Thanks.
I just noticed the sheen and it's all good.
There are very few, you know, every winter I have this compulsion to smear my lips with a chapstick.
Do it.
Don't
you find on
whenever
stress...
I see a chapstick,
yeah,
I'm there. But few of them are successful, in my opinion. I don't want ones that are.
Finally, I just got that.
Finally, wow.
Wow.
Amazing, guys.
Wow.
Guys.
You are dirty.
3 hours of this.
Wow.
I don't like the ones that taste of sweets because I just want to eat them. And it's just like, it's like sort of eating a donut and then not licking your lips. I don't like the ones that taste like chemically and petrochemically. This one tastes like stale cooking oil, like an old curry. Like, with what should I smear my lips? No, I'm not asking that question.
Don't answer that question.
I'm not asking that question.
Anyway.
Old man, eyebrow.
I've never thought of it that way before. Now you've made it wrong.
What, smearing your lips with a...
Chapstick.
Ed looks like he's done it a few times. He's having his tea at the moment. Noshing on a
chapstick.
A Josh. Rogan Josh.
No. Is it a ticker?
What is it tonight? What you got tonight?
Tonight's meal is a Chinese beef.
Chinese beef cake! Hey, we're doing Good Morning China after 12.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, China.
It's China. We're talking about, it's Britain's earliest breakfast show. It's all about China because they're going to be on your
And what pray is happening in China at the moment?
I can tell you, tonight we're going to be talking about what's going on with Marks and Spencers in China.
What?
I know!
There's stuff going on?
Apparently, and Legoland.
Okay.
Amazing. So that's with Stuart Wigan later on. We've also got Choose Your Own Erotica, which I've only just finished.
I don't know how much further we can go. It was very sensual last night.
It was very sensuous. Well, we've had some more suggestions from people of what things that could happen.
Yeah,
we're going to go with that. All right. I saw the story in the paper.
Get in.
# Radio Bland. Shall I do the jingle? There we go. Hang on. Stand by. #RadioBlend. Saw Ed dive for the fader there. That's very loud. Sorry about that, Ed. You might want to turn me down a bit. I think that I Love to Love was very low. Council are bidding to fine people for swearing in public. The idea is part of a crackdown that could lead to bans on begging loud music, particularly the Beach Boys.
Oh.
Revving car. Sorry?
Carry on.
Sorry?
Did my inner monologue seep?
revving car engines, street drinking, and skateboarding in Rochdale.
Oh.
Greater Manchester.
Oh, right. All of those things in Rochdale, or just skateboarding in Rochdale?
You cannot... Yeah, that's the end of skateboarding in Rochdale. If you
it's bought, over.
If you bought shares in skateboard shops in Rochdale, I would say dump. Dump them right now. Sink it all into Bitcoin. That's the answer.
It's over.
There's going to be a big announcement, you know, tomorrow about Bitcoin.
Is there? I have no idea what
Bitcoin...
I know Bitcoin's imaginary money.
Yeah, it's fake money, fake news, and you can buy it. It's digital currency, right?
Yes.
And people have been trading it, and it all crashed about 3 years ago, just when I bought it. I lost a lot of money, and it's all come back. Tomorrow, though, there's some big announcement that it's going to become an ETF, which is... I don't know what that means. Is it an exchange trust fund or extended trust or enhanced trust? Anyway, whatever. It means you can sort of buy and sell it like stocks and shares, and it means there'll be lots of trading in it, and it will go through the roof tomorrow, if it gets approved in the States. If it doesn't, then it was probably going to crash and burn. So if you fancy tossing a Bitcoin, now's the time to get involved, guys. Anyway, don't buy skateboard shares in Rochdale. Swearing in public, though. I was out with my kids a couple of weeks ago, and people were sort of swearing in the street, and I was like, like hands over the ears.
I am kind of conflicted, though, because part of me thinks my children don't know what those words mean. And they don't know what a lot of words mean. And so by drawing attention to it, am I making them curious as to what it means?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember watching things like The Goonies or Grease or even Back to the Future and not hearing the language I hear now when I watch them. Because I kind of watch them before I let the kids see them and think, yes. Oh, no, I'm not going to let them watch that.
Yeah.
There were elements in those films that I was completely unaware of, but I still enjoyed the films. And another part of me thinks...
I remember...
the lesson you learn, actually, because my parents were quite hardcore when it came to swearing.
As in they did it a lot, or
no,
they didn't do it?
They didn't. And if I said some very mild...
Go on.
Well, not even swears.
Go on.
You know, if I said crap or SH1T...
Ofcom!
I remember getting soap put on my teeth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, yeah, seriously? Proper old school.
Whoa.
And it didn't teach me not to swear. What it taught me was don't swear in front of your mum. But maybe that's the important... I wonder whether that's the important lesson, actually, about learning when it is acceptable to, you know, who you swear in front of. Actually, that's the more important lesson, isn't
it? Perhaps it is. Perhaps it is. But it's funny, that thing you were talking about, films that you watch as a kid and you have no idea what's actually being talked about.
So in Greece, there's a whole pregnancy thing that I completely missed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I haven't seen Grease as an adult.
Yeah, well, Rizzo
really?
Thinks she might be PG and it might be Kanikis and that whole thing going on. And then she finds out that she's not. And at the end, that's why she's relieved. But I didn't understand that and I didn't get that whole thing.
No, I had no idea. I remember watching and thinking, what a funny idea. What a humorous concept, with no idea of what she was talking about. When I watched Airplane as a sort of 7-year-old,
right.
When Elaine says to Ted, I remember how we made love and stuff. I remember how I used to sit on your face and wriggle. I was like, what a funny idea. Imagine sitting on
hilarious.
Somebody's face and wriggling. This is a funny film. I had no idea what they were talking about. No idea.
Exactly.
So, yeah. There must be loads of those.
Of course there are.
That's a great... 03444991000.
And these are some of my favourite films. You know, I used to love...
Yeah.
I used to love Grease. Actually, when you watch it as an older person, and me as a feminist, I do wonder about the message it sends.
Which one, sorry? Grease.
Grease.
Yeah.
So, all the way through...
Oh, it's terrible!
Yeah, at the end,
There's lyrics that you couldn't say on the show,
oh,
right?
Yeah, no, but I completely missed them. But also at the end, how does she get her man?
By
pretending to be someone she's not.
By shaping up. Yeah, yeah. No one wants who you really are.
No, but then
stupid ladies.
I guess the answer is he does the same thing, doesn't he?
You had your International Women's Day. Okay, get over it. Back in your box. Get some lippy on.
It's International Man's Day again.
Let's see you head down to Boots for a shaper's lunch.
Oh, my.
Oh, they've run out of prawn. I don't want to hear it. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I don't know.
You know, films you watched when you were a kid and completely missed the point.
And you had no idea what was going on. Oh, it's got to be. I mean, Victoria Wood, obviously not films, but you know her song "Let's Do It." I had. I just thought, what a funny song.
People asked with a Woman's Weekly. She couldn't have been more explicit, could she?
That really was the 50 Shades of Grey of its time, wasn't it?
I love Victoria Wood because she was one of the rare people who was on television and sounded like people I knew, you know, because I wasn't from London or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just remember that one scene where they did a fly in the wall documentary at the hospital.
Mm.
And he said, "Are you here? What you're here for? You're here for tests. Is it fertility?" And she went, "I don't know what it's for." Brilliant. Just little moments like that. Not great big Rick Roarers, but she was wonderful.
She was, and those songs, the way she crafted those songs, and some like really plaintive songs. Do you remember the one? It's like an old man's song, and the lyrics go, "Made your breakfast this morning. Just like any old day. And then I remembered and I threw it away."
Oh, no.
Oh, it's devastating. Devastating song. It was brilliant, that. Dilly Keane, she's another superlative songwriter. And she, I can't remember what she calls them. She's like sort of twist the knife songs or not a dry eye in the house songs.
Right.
And she deliberately, you know, she chucks one in every show. She writes a song that will absolutely devastate you. So she does really funny songs, which are getting much ruder as she gets older. With Fascinating Ada, you should have a look at her stuff.
Oh, I've seen Fascinating Ada.
Yeah.
She
writes the songs. And, but just every sort of album or every show, there'll be one song that will just floor you.
That will hit home.
She did a song called "Old Home," talking about the. Oh, should I find it?
Yeah.
All right. We'll have some after. Hey, after the break. All right.
Jacob in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Is just a pile of bricks and mortar in a plot of land. Just like the ones on either side, it's nothing special, nothing grand. A house is just a place to lay your head, a place for sleeping and for waking.
That was Fascinating Idea, beautiful song, Dilly Keane. She's so nice. I met her a few times. She's just lovely. I think I basically contacted her and said, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. If you've got any advice? She met me.
She did.
She was so nice. She gave me lots of time and said,
I had a moment like that with Emma Barnett.
Did you?
She's now doing really well on Radio 5. Yeah, really warm. Yeah, super, super, super woman. Just a wonderful woman.
I like good mentors like that. We need to establish our safe word. Lots of people have been asking. C. Jester has been quite busy on Twitter and said, could someone on the air say LBC sucks balls or do a jingle about it sucking balls? No, I don't think you can do that. Matthew says, evening. He says, the safe word is cenotaph. Defy me at your peril.
Oh.
All right, mate, calm down. Just, you know, easy. Dave says the safe word tonight should be horizontal. C. Jester said, LBC sucks balls should be your safe word. All right.
Oh, we get it.
Oh, man. And there was another one. I can't remember what it was. Dan said, "Look, Mummy, No Hands" is a killer song, also by Fascinating Ida.
Oh, I don't know that one. Cool. Is that beautiful?
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll do that one later as well.
Speaking of being mummy, you know I've got to go up at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I normally lie in bed until the very last minute and then slip on some trousers over the top of my pyjamas and go and take the children to school.
Come off it.
I've got to dress them up.
You're that mum in the pyjamas.
I am, but
you've got
know.
Good reason.
You wouldn't know, though. I put clothes on over the top.
Do you sleep in a three-piece suit? What do you?
No, I've got Stormtrooper pyjamas at the moment. They're brilliant. I woke up on the dark side, it says. But the trousers are quite tight, so I can put jeans on over the top. So no one would ever know. I put jeans on a jumper. And I love standing next to the Lycra women going, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I know what's going on underneath these jeans. Yeah. You enjoy your yoga like you ever go.
I'll see your yoga and I'll raise you a lion.
But I've got to dress the girls up tomorrow because it's World Book Day.
Like plus one.
At least 6 days late.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I'm doing Cindy Lou Who. She's going to be tomorrow, one of them.
Who's Cindy Lou Who?
She's the little girl from The Grinch.
Okay.
And she has quite an elaborate hairdo, so good luck with that tomorrow morning.
Yeah. At 7 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be doing... Oh.
It's happening. Thank goodness there's a YouTube tutorial for that.
Alex says the safe word tonight should either be very sensuous or nosh. That's a callback to last night's Book It Better. Alex, I can't believe you heard that. It's amazing. So, we'll pick one. I'll let you pick. You pick one. Catherine, who would you like?
Horizontal.
Horizontal. All right.
Let's go horizontal.
All right. There's no pens in here. I think I have this theory James Whale takes them and puts them on eBay or something. You know, it's one of them.
There you go.
Horizontal is today's safe word. If you hear us say anything in the next 2.5 hours that you really just don't want to hear anymore.
Horizontal makes it stop.
Text or tweet that 87222. Start text message with the word talk or at talk radio. Ray says that was a lovely song. Who and what was that? Fascinating Aida, a song called Old Home. Beautiful song. Mark says, great to hear Jake Yap tonight with at Flipping Kath at Talk Radio. I did Jake's travel a few times on BBC Radio Leeds. Mark, you've lived. Remember those great days? Remember the crying?
Radio Leeds. What was your show on Radio Leeds?
It was awful.
What was it though?
I did mid mornings, and it was terrible. I did Fridays and Saturdays, and then they said we'd like to just take it down to Saturdays. Mm-hmm. I said I think I'm going to leave now, it was awful. What I didn't realise, of course, was that there, you know, one has to maintain a certain level of decorum within one's public persona because one is a representative of the BBC.
Right.
That hadn't really been rammed. I mean, I worked for the BBC when I was 19. I'm sort of steeped in the BBC. But I hadn't really understood, you know, when you become a presenter
for
the BBC.
What did you do?
Well, it was around the time of the Olympics.
Oh.
In London.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah. Well, I... today's safe word is horizontal. Horizontal. Stand by. You're allowed to use it. Okay. It was the run-up to the Olympics, and what I think maybe people, history may have forgotten, that in the run-up to the London Olympics, nobody cared. No one gave no one.
No, everyone thought it was going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
We make a right hash of it.
Yeah. And so I decided I was going to be the only person in Britain that was genuinely excited about the Olympics, but I was going to try and make up for everyone else's apathy. So I was going to be, like, excited to a ridiculous degree. And I loved everything about the Olympics, and so I put these videos on YouTube talking about, the mascots!
The mascots were awful, weren't they?
They were, what? They were, come on. Wenlock. Oh, he's cheeky. Oh, he's so cheeky, but he's cool. He's cool, and he's cheeky, but Mandeville. He is dry. They were indistinguishable. I mean, that's the point. There was absolutely nothing
like
between the two.
They were like one-eyed monsters, weren't they?
What? They were made out of girders from the Olympic Stadium. Don't you even know? No, you don't even know. Their one eyes represented cameras. Clever. This is genuinely.
is that true?
This is genuinely from the website. Their eyes was cameras because everyone's going to be looking at the Olympics. Brilliant. Also, at the top, what's that? What's that thing on the top? A London black cab orange light.
You're kidding me.
Yes. And it's the Olympics. Olympic rings. Of course, Olympic rings. But no, better. Not Olympic rings. Olympic coloured friendship bracelets. Better. So cool.
They were awful.
So I was making all these videos, right, talking like that about, it's going to be the most excellent Olympics there's ever been. And then, of course, it was.
It was really good.
A supreme irony. But I got sent by a couple of friends. They bought cuddly mascots of Wenlock and Mandeville. And so I just, because they were indistinguishable from each other. There was absolutely no way anyone could tell the difference between Wenlock and Mandeville, all right? So arbitrarily, I just decided that I thought I was going to think that Wenlock, he's so cool and he's cheeky and fun. Mandeville, dry. So dry. Oh, Mandeville, you let it down. Purely arbitrarily. Anyway, so I got sent these Wenlock and Mandeville cuddly mascots by my friends. And so I did a little bit. I did an unboxing video and they were dressed as beef eaters.
Oh.
And Wenlock was marching about going, prump, pump, 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 prump, pump. Who's this? Who's this idiot? And then Mandeville came in saying, oh, hey, I'm Mandeville. Sharp! You're so lame. You're rubbish. Everyone hates you. Oh, yeah, I guess everyone does hate you. Yes, they hate you. Why don't you just... And it ended with a very sort of crude and quite brutal representation of the effectively the power hierarchy.
Oh, dear.
In a sexualized way.
What, so Mandeville...
Mandeville loved it. He loved it, but he knew he deserved it.
Oh, dear.
And I put it on online, and it started going... Like, it had all the signs of something that was going to go berserk.
So you're thinking, excellent, online. I'm going to get such a good stroke from the boss.
I don't know what... Some weird cognitive dissonance thing in my head had happened. I was living in Leeds in a flat I just moved into to do a radio show in Leeds for the BBC, where everything's lovely. And then I put this on YouTube. And I was watching the numbers go up thinking, this is going to go... But within 2 hours, like, it was racking up. I was thinking, this could be the making of me. Or subsequently, I realized the breaking. The breaking of me.
And what they don't want is attention. You got to learn.
Exactly. They do not want attention.
In any way.
Keep your head down.
Don't win
not
anything.
Like, yeah.
But also don't draw attention to yourself.
Please don't do anything noteworthy. So I just got a text from my boss saying, you need to take the video down. We'll talk tomorrow.
Oh.
I was like,
so they put you on ice. They didn't even call you.
No, that was it. And then I had to do my show the next day with this sword of Damocles hanging over me.
Management technique.
Yeah. So, I mean, the show was just awful. It just sounded like this. That was a really weird Ronan Keating cover of a Cat Stevens song. Why do we do this in BBC local radio? Anyway, and then I went in and I had to have this meeting. And like, she'd written all these notes, my boss.
There will have been paperwork.
And she broke me. I mean, she broke me. I'm talking about within the last 5 years.
Uh-huh, of course.
She made me cry in the meeting.
Did she dissect your comedy? So you think this is funny?
Not just dissecting my comedy, but saying, have you got some self-destructive streak to you? Is that why you've done this? Because I can't have that. I was like, no, I'm sorry. It was funny and I got overexcited and I put it. It was just, is that what you, I mean, because I can't. I was like, I'm sorry. The BBC is an Olympic broadcaster. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you, Ed, for my tea. That's very kind of you. So that had to come down quite quickly.
Gosh.
Quite quickly. I can't remember what that was apropos of now. We were going... Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that was Mark's claim to fame as he got to do the travel. That day I cried. We'll have a 45-second break and be back.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake Yap in for late-night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344-499-1000 is the number to call. The door is open. The door is open. Do you want to tweet? No.
What?
Well.
Go on.
Like, after midnight, Ian does the straight-to-air thing, doesn't
sometimes,
he?
Sometimes. The thing is, because I can come on and talk about whatever they want, it doesn't really make any difference if you go straight-to-air.
Does it really? No.
Unless if you were doing, Brexit call me now for an hour, and then you were doing immigrants call me now for an hour, and then you go, right, free-for-all. Yeah. That makes a difference. But the thing is, we do call me now if you want.
That's true. Well, just phone up and we'll put you on. I don't care. 0344-499-1000. Mark says, oh, bless you. I wonder why you were a bit off that day. Yeah, that's why I was a bit off that day.
Bit off. Being the understatement.
Yeah.
The Olympics were good. I don't even like sport, but they were quite fun, those Olympics, weren't they?
They were really good. But, did you go to any?
No. But the logo was rubbish. It looked rude.
You, I never saw that until you told me just now.
For heaven's sake, it looks like a woman with massive hair.
Kneeling.
Either tying someone's shoelaces or helping them out with something.
And we're back to the mascots.
I mean,
the one-eyed monster.
That went through about, that must have gone through a lot.
Imagine
of
the committees.
Meetings.
Imagine.
No one saw that. Just invite me to one meeting. Honest, I would have pointed that out straight away.
Honestly, I think a lot of that's you. I mean, I can see it now you've said it.
Can't unsee it. Let me help you with that, she's saying.
You should have. She's not saying anything. Wow, that's amazing.
You're telling me you can't see that?
Yes, I can now. I can't unsee it, as you say. It's just
5 years too late, my friend, but at least you've seen it.
Yeah. Gemma said, can I get a preemptive horizontal in on the basis that you're leading up to a Ken? Ken's blown his load. He got to
wow,
sing.
Wow, you can't say that.
So, yes, you can.
Shot his bolt.
He phoned up James. I was actually slightly miffed.
It's fine by me.
Slightly miffed by that.
Fine by me.
Yeah. Right. I've got a story here. Where is it? Apparently video games are harmless after all.
I think we knew that, didn't we?
Well.
Video games.
Yeah.
So take video games, the word video games, and replace it with rock and roll.
Games.
No.
Oh, just
rock
the whole
and roll.
Thing. Okay.
Right, so for the generation before. And then for the generation before that, novels. Do you remember when they thought that novels were bad for women to read in the sort of, you know, Victorian times?
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, there's always something that's at fault.
I'm not sure.
For human beings behaving like human beings.
I'm not sure how many novels have caused epilepsy, apart from maybe The Rainbow.
I've never read The Rainbow. What's that about?
Oh, that's rude.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it like Always? Forever?
Judy Blume. It was like a sort of a more
Forever went round the class
Victorian-y sort of version of that, yeah.
Hmm.
It's good. It's pretty
Lady Chatterley.
Yeah. We're back on Dirty Books again. It's like Barbara Taylor Bradford all over again. I read that. I really like The Rainbow.
What's The Rainbow about then?
I can't really remember. It's sort of one of those sort of three generations of women and their lives, as told by D.H. Lawrence. And everyone in my class was like, oh, this is so dry. I was like, I quite like it.
D.H. Lawrence went to my university. That was their claim to fame. What they didn't tell you until you actually looked into it was that he left university with his lecturer's wife.
Oh, he's good.
Mm-hmm. But we had the D.H. Lawrence bar. So it's what he would have wanted.
Should we talk to Julie?
Yeah.
Hello, Julie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
You sound very chirpy.
She always does.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right, though, isn't it?
That was brilliant. It's amazing.
I'm just thinking, because I didn't think there's been many callers into the last couple of shows, and I thought, do you know what? I really want to phone up and ask you something.
Good. We've not banned them. They just don't want to talk to us for some reason.
Yeah. It's because you're so entertaining. Don't need to phone in.
It's almost like they were on strike.
I do feel a bit naughty listening to you, if I'm honest.
Good. Good.
I mean, hang on. This has been like the hardest week of shows ever. I mean, you know that like basically everyone's sitting there with their arms folded going, scab.
Yeah, but they're still listening.
Scab.
But still listening.
Yeah.
So I've got a question to ask you based on something that happened to me today.
Oh.
And that is, have you ever had the feeling where you're convinced that you've won something or you're going to get a job or win a prize? And you're absolutely convinced, because I applied for there's an online gin company, and they were, and you might have read about it, they were they put out an advert for a gin turn. Get it, intern for gin.
Oh.
And
I didn't see that. That's remiss of me.
An application form in January, brilliant application form, even if I do say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
They had 5,000 entries. On to the next level, round one, posted something on social media, did that. I was convinced that I was an ideal candidate and I'd at least get through to the next round. And then I got an email today saying, if you haven't heard from us, I'm afraid you're not in it. And I'm almost incensed, because I had it all planned out.
Oh. Yeah. It was all there, wasn't it?
Have you ever had that situation where you're convinced?
Yes.
For no other reason than you just feel it.
Mm. I had
winning prizes.
I had exactly that happen when I was nominated for an award the Sunday Breakfast Show here on Talk Radio, 8 o'clock. And you sort of exist in two states at the same time. And your grown-up brain is going, look, you won't have won this. It's very unlikely. It's all political. It's not going to happen.
Practice your I'm fine with this face.
Yeah, exactly. When, of course, the other part of my brain is going, yeah, but though, what would you say, though, if you were going to, what would you want to say? And the trouble was that John Holmes was hosting. He was presenting that award. And he unwrapped the envelope. And like you, I think, Julia, I was sort of, by then, I couldn't help but think,
yeah,
I've got this. This is in the...
Yeah.
And so he opened the envelope and went, I was like, oh, it's me, because we work on the same station. He's like, hey. He went, and the winner is Jake. I was like, here we go. Pollard.
Oh.
I was like, oh, come on!
Did you do a Kanye and march up there?
I'm sorry. No, I didn't, but I got very drunk instead. So, I feel your pain.
It's not because I've got kind of a high sense of self or anything like that. But it's just like, in my mind, it's kind of like, well, that's obviously the way that my life's going to go. I've got to get this job, it's only part-time, blah, blah, blah. I'd already planned it out, but also I was thinking, what is there not to like? What was wrong with it?
I know, I understand. Do you ever have days where you're like walking through like town particularly and you think, I'm going to see someone I know today? I just know it. Do you ever have that one?
No, but I do have things where where I'm convinced I'm going to win something in a raffle, and that happens quite a lot, where I say, I'm going to win this bit, and it does come. It does happen.
Yeah, but normally because you've entered one, surely.
Yeah, mainly because I bought 3,000 tickets.
Have you ever entered my little boy's school raffle, like it was their fate thing last summer, and they drew out the first prize. And it was my number. I was like, yep. And I like ran up to the front. I was very excited and stuff. And won the first prize and then sort of sank back. And
what was it?
It was... I mean, it's very sweet. It had been donated by the local gym,
okay,
right?
What was it?
But it was like 15% off half of a junior swim when accompanied by 9 adults paying for it. It was the lamest.
Ding, ding, you're the lucky one.
I know. So I was sort of going, okay, fine, whatever. But like, quite a few people have wanted that one. I could say it was the big prize. Second best prize. They pull out the number.
Okay,
sorry. And I was like, I can't accept this. I made them draw again because I can't.
But did you want to make them draw again, or did you really want it? Because I won a school raffle, and guess what the first prize was? It was an iPad.
Wow.
You know, the worst thing, which is brilliant, out of a tombola, but I was chair of the PTA that year.
As soon as
my name was called out, I could see everybody whispering. Even though people had seen it was drawn out, I could see everyone whispering. Like, oh, that's typical.
It's a stitch up. It's a stitch up. It's a stitch up.
I was like, no, put it back in.
Yeah, you're thinking, it's mine.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't possibly accept. Please.
My daughter reads the Beano, right? Oh. And she entered a competition. Like the first time she entered a competition, and it had been just really to show her that you don't always win is why I let her enter this competition.
How did that work out?
She won.
Yeah.
Right. So now she looks at the prizes now on the Beano in the competitions as if I'm going to get this.
Leaping through the Argos catalogue with a gift card in her hand.
Basically. Yeah. And I have to explain to her, you probably won't win. It was really lucky that you won on the first time.
Wow.
And she just does not get it. And so, Yeah, that's the thing. Because I used to enter competitions all the time when I was a kid, never won anything. And it is a lesson in dealing with it, isn't it?
I have won lots of things.
Have you? What's the best thing you ever won?
No. Holiday to Barbados.
No!
You didn't say throw that back, did you?
No.
cash, vessels. But it was before the... there's mainly kind of like radio shows and things in the days before... they were randomly selected.
Ah.
So you would phone up, and as long as you maybe sounded nice on the phone, maybe had a bit of a flirt with the producer.
Hang on.
I see what you're doing.
Oh! Cash for flirtation scandal.
Where you were chosen rather than it being random.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those were the days. You could do competitions then. We can't do anything now. Can't do anything.
No, not without a lot of...
I remember the first radio gig I had. It was in the East Midlands, and we gave away a slave for a year.
What?
No,
what?
We didn't really. I'm kidding.
I remember when I first started working in radio, it was quite common for us to do, I mean, and we'd be giving away something really, I mean, like a CD or a DVD or something.
Yeah.
And it would be, I've got something written on this piece of paper, if you can guess what it is. There'd be no piece of paper.
What?
There'd be no piece of paper. And it would be a matter of, but the thing is, what do you want to achieve? You'll get the phones ringing, but you get people ringing up and saying, is it grass? Is it lemons? You know, for 3 hours. So, yeah, it looks good. It looks like you've got loads of people ringing up, but it's boring radio. And, of course, the whole idea was at the end, you'd get the last person on and going, yes, it is melons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well done.
You know, and it, but it was a trick.
But you could have done, you could at least have said something like, I've got a stain on my jeans.
I actually have. Right, I've got a stain on my dress today.
There we go.
Can you guess what it is?
Come on, that's the best. 0344 499 1000.
There's no prize.
A slave for a year and a luxury holiday to Barbados.
Just
I'm
for
kidding.
Fun, guess what this mark is on my frock.
0344 499 1000. We'll be back after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Young, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
This is we are set now for the rest of the day. This is
what,
fantastic.
Because of my stainage?
This is so exciting. Julie left before she could guess what the stain was on your dress. It's already trending with a hashtag. It's got its own hashtags. Hashtag name the stain. At Talk Radio, or you can text 87222. Start a text message with the word.
You'll never guess.
Well, people are trying to guess. So, Isaac says, is it strawberry yoghurt?
No.
A few... So, who was it said... where's it gone? Penguinland says, obviously soup. I'll go for oxtail.
No.
No. And then...
Julie says, is it tomato soup? Hashtag name the stain.
Yeah.
No.
No.
See what I mean about these guess what's on this piece of paper
competitions? Yeah, yeah. But genuinely, there is a stain, and genuinely you haven't named it yet.
And I've tried wiping it down. I've made it worse.
She was sponging it earlier. I quite like paulsquiz.com has sent us a funny cartoon of a lady at a laundrette handing in a dress, saying, can you get the stain out of my dress? And the woman in the laundrette says, come again. And she says, no, this time it's sour cream. Alan says the stain is rhubarb, isn't it? No. Hold the rhubarb. Hang on, that sounds euphemistic. Hold your forced rhubarb for another couple of hours before we have our Choose Your Own Adventure interactive erotica, which will feature forced rhubarb, as promised.
Again.
So, yes, lots of guesses. Keep them coming. 87222, start text message with the word talk. Mark, do you want to have a guess?
I'm going to say coffee, Jake. How about coffee? It's got to be coffee.
No.
Any sort of drink condiment? Are you going to give us a clue?
Hang on. Whoa,
one
hang,
guess
whoa.
A person, please.
Yeah. No, I'm not having clues. It's too early for clues. How are you this evening, Mark?
I am very well, thank you, very well. I'm the guy that used to do your travel, so I thought I'd phone in and just say hello.
Amazing. And, are you okay? Are you in a safe place
fine,
now?
Yeah.
Are you in a good place?
Well, funnily enough, I got fired from that job as well. So.
Did you? did you do the same thing with the soft toys and the bending over and the...
Oh, no, nothing like that, no. I think I said a rude word to one of the stations.
Did you?
You know, because you do a couple of stations, you say, because the secret behind it is like they think you're in Leeds, but you're not actually in Leeds, you're actually based in the centre in Altrincham, broadcasted to quite a few stations. So anyway, I slipped up, I left my mic open and said a rude word.
Oh no.
What was a rude word? Don't say it, but give us an alternative word that starts with the same letter.
Allude to the rude.
It was flip.
Oh, heck.
I know. But it was one of them, you know, when you think you were just doing something else, and then all of a sudden you left the mic on and thought, oh, no, oh, dear. And then it was a bit too late as well. So, yeah.
There is no dishonour in being the person who puts the trucks into lines for ferries. Now, what are you doing? What are you doing now, Mark? What's your...
Bits of everything, really. I've just, the reason I'm called in on a Thursday night, I've just done a pub quiz, funnily enough. So I present a pub quiz in Hyde, in Greater Manchester. I do a little interactive pub quiz there at a hotel there. And
when you say interactive?
Of everything, is it? Interactive, aye.
You just say flip a lot and see what happens.
Awesome. A little bit.
Oh, well, Mark, it's so nice to talk to you again. I can't believe, after all those years.
Because I'm tempted to talk about the Gelded Roads and stuff like that, but I won't.
No, please don't. Please don't. I can't take that.
I won't bring back the memories.
Ah, well, thanks for calling, Mark. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I mean, it was just, I was going to call about Julie's point, actually, you know, about job interviews and stuff like that as well. So, went for the job interview last week, and I thought I evaded it. I thought, oh, you know, they're all laughing and everything else like that. Yeah. And it was sort of managerial role as well.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they said, oh, yeah, we'll let you know on Monday. We'll give you the ring, Rundy. I'm off this weekend. So, still haven't heard anything yet, though. So I'm like, I'm not quite sure whether I got that job or not yet. But at least I made a good impression.
Well, so, it's only a week. You know, things
but
happen.
Also, do you know the news thing? When I was younger and I used to apply for jobs, you used to always get a letter, you get a knockback, and I used to keep the letters and think, right, okay, the positive way of looking at this is I am one letter closer to my job, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah.
But these days, they don't even tell you. I went for a job about 6 years ago. I'm guessing I didn't hear anything back from them at all. Not even a thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
And that's just bad form, I think.
That is bad form.
Yeah, definitely. I think some sort of email or, you know, a text to say, I'm sorry, but you haven't got it. That would be nice.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't expect them to tell me. I don't expect them to tell me where it went wrong, because I know that everyone's into feedback these days, but I think that's a bit extra. Mm. And, you know, I'm not really that bothered about that. But when they say, okay, we'll give you a shout in a week's time, and you're sitting there with your phone on the whole time, and nothing happens, and then like 2-3 weeks go by, it just leaves a nasty taste in your mouth, doesn't it?
It's gig economy, mate.
I know.
Gig economy.
Totally, man.
Oh, well, Mark, thanks so much for talking to us. Appreciate
you're welcome,
it.
Mate. Listen, great show as well, you guys. You're doing a fantastic job this week. Well done.
That's very lovely. Well, you know, that's blackleg scum for you. That's us.
It may be that I was due at my job at BBC London about 6 years ago, but if I didn't turn up, guys, now you know why.
There you go.
That's the thing.
That's what it is. Jerry's here. Look, we haven't got very long before the news, Jerry. Are you all right? He's gone. He's not there.
He's not all right. He's not talking to you.
We'll call him back after the news because we've got to play. Still some more guesses have come in. John has guessed Horlicks.
Nope.
And C. Jester says, is it? No. They're never going to guess it.
No. Should we narrow it down?
No, we'll narrow it down after the news. You can still guess. Hedy says, is it the stain from the tears of John Gaunt's failed radio career? Wow.
Gosh.
Harsh,
isn't it? I don't really know him, so that wouldn't happen.
He does it all online now, doesn't he?
Apparently.
Yeah. I don't think he does. I think he does partial nudity.
JP Devlin, who's off Radio 4.
JP Devlin.
Says, is it Mint Vianetta? No, it's not, but you got me right. I'm classy like that.
Mint Vianetta. Can't go wrong. Is it really JP Devlin?
Yes.
Amazing. Is he listening now?
Yes.
No.
He's been in here. Came for New Year's. Yeah, he's lovely. And obviously a man of taste and style, Mint Vianetta, but no, not tonight, JP Devlin.
You know, my radio happens to break or I've accidentally snapped the buttons off and I can't get back to Penny Smith on talk radio on a Saturday morning. Under exclusively those conditions, I occasionally listen to Saturday Live with Rev Rich on Radio 4.
Yeah.
And JP Devlin, I can't help but try to do the voices all the way through the whole show. I need to try and do all the voices. Shall I did like Saturday Live in 2 minutes.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Let's have it after the news.
Shall I do it?
Yeah.
If JP Devlin is listening, then give him a treat. Do it, really, shouldn't I? All right. Oh boy.
Stand by, JP.
Keep guessing what the stain is on Kath's shirt. Hashtag name the stain. Alex says some sort of chicken juice.
What?
No, and it's nothing to do with Monica Lewinsky.
Oh.
Talk radio.
Do you know how nerve-wracking it is, like, having to take the rise out of someone when that person you know is right there? Like, once I had to do it, I had to do my impression of Jon Snow on the same stage as Jon Snow with him standing directly behind me in a fairly intimidating way.
Ah, suck up, you snowflake.
Let's catch up with the latest news headlines, shall we?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat.
Jacob, in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Do you know, I just remembered I was going to try and do a jingle for Name the Stain. Hashtag Name the Stain. Kath has a stain on the front of her dress and you have to try and guess what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just for some, a SATS version of fun. 87222. Start a text message with the word talk.
Are we going to do clues yet?
Tweet
or not?
At Talk Radio. Sorry?
Do you want to do clues yet?
Well, we had a few guesses.
Because some people think it's like Horlicks or coffee or.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Dan says, is the stain black marker?
No.
No. Jem says, is it small child related? I once sat through a risk committee with a yoghurty face smear kiss across my left lapel.
No, it's not small child related. It's all me.
Alan, oh, okay. Because Alan
well,
said
no, not all me.
Yeah, hang on a minute. It's nothing. It's not
it's
you.
My own
hey,
fault.
Whoa.
It's my own fault.
Yeah, yeah. Self-inflicted. It's not all you, though. Alan says it's either squid ink, creosote, or chocolate Yoo-hoo. He knows you. He just knows you.
Well, not on a Thursday, clearly.
Okay, and Jeff says bolognese. It's a guess, but I have bolognese stains on my trousers, among others.
Dinner medals. No, it's not. It's not.
Isaac says, can I have another go? Is it Marmite? Sorry, I can't stop thinking of Marmite.
No, it's not Marmite.
And Mark says he's crossed the picket line.
Oh, we know.
He says he feels like Mad Lizzie from TVAM in the 80s. Wow, now there's a callback. Amazing. And Al says, is the stain on Kath's dress spermaceti?
No.
The waxy goo from the head of a sperm whale that she was tending on a windswept beach.
No, although you do know what I get up to on my time off, clearly. But no, not on this occasion.
Okay. Okay, here's some niche.
It's not a compound liquid.
All right.
There we go. So,
do you know why sperm whales are called sperm whales?
No.
Because they've got this huge reserve of oil, basically. Like in a sort of space at the back of their neck, mm-hmm. just behind their head. And if you harpoon them there,
it'll...
the oil gushes out and turns white in the cold of the sea.
Gosh!
And
gosh!
I can't remember the rest of the reason, but that's, yeah. That's why they're called sperm whales.
Gosh.
It is as blunt
as that.
As that.
Crikey, Bobs.
Time for some very niche broadcasting now.
JP Devlin, stand
by. As we find out just how big the overlap is on the Venn diagram between people who listen to talk radio at 11 o'clock at night and people who listen to Radio 4 on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whenever it is. And it's basically JP Devlin. So really, just for you. JP Devlin is one of the presenters. If you don't know it, it's a sort of a magazine-y kind of show. And obviously I mean that pejoratively. No, I'm kidding. How would you describe it if you've ever heard it, Kath? So the Reverend Richard Coles hosts it with...
Who I think is wonderful. So he's the anchor man.
Yeah, and then there's a lady.
It's like... Well, it's a magazine show, but, you know...
They have guests and they talk about things and they tie it all together.
JP
artfully.
Devlin's like a roving reporter, isn't he?
Yeah, he sorts out the phone calls and stuff, and it's really great.
It's like this.
Yeah, it's just like this, only with quite a lot more budget. So,
well, I was doing an intro to It's Like This.
Oh, sorry, okay.
No, it's not like this.
No,
it's like this.
Now on BBC Radio 4, it's time for Saturday Live. Gina, ironic piece of music from the 80s with a montage. It looks like yoghurt. It's not yoghurt. Oh, it came out of my head. There it goes. Hello, I'm the Reverend Richard Coles, and welcome to my programme. You know, one of my parishioners came up to me yesterday and said, Rev Rich, you're so cool, to which I replied, am I? I'm only a messenger of God and was in the communards and present the most excellent show there is on Radio 4. Oh, I suppose I am incredibly cool. Here on the show are lots of people who aren't as cool as me, but I don't mind talking to them because I'm also incredibly lovely. JP, has anyone bothered to phone us up? And for some reason, must you explain their phone call to us before we get to talk to them?
That's right, Richard. Now we're going to talk to Claire Heald, who says she once lied about being vegetarian to get out of going to a wedding. Hi, Claire. So is that right? You lied about being vegetarian to get out of going to a wedding?
Yes, I once lied about being vegetarian to get out of going to a wedding.
You couldn't make it up.
That was a jolly good phone call, JP. Really well done. Some chit-chat with someone who makes sculptures out of spoons and an 80s pop star. Like me, but not as incredibly cool because they're not a vicar. And now we'll play the closing music that that producer who is going through a breakdown chose.
Is that fair? We lost our only listener.
JP?
JP, I'm sorry. I love you. I can change. There we go. That was fun. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call if you want to play Name the Stain. Michael is guessing, is it egg white? Did Ian throw an egg at Kath for crossing the picket line?
No, because I'm not crossing the picket line. It's not a producer's strike, as you well know. So don't be mischievous.
Well, he was calling for everyone who worked in radio.
No, he wasn't, actually. He wasn't.
Was he not?
No.
Oh.
No.
I thought. Oh.
Just presenters.
Okay.
My wage says I'm not a presenter.
yeah, funny that. Del Monte says, is the stain dog's hockle?
What's dog's hockle?
Dog's hockle.
No, I don't have a dog.
Spit the dog.
It would be unusual for it to be such a thing. No, okay. It's not.
Spit the dog. Why don't we talk to Jerry?
Let's
do that. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Jesse. It's tiring deep. I'm all right now. All right now.
You're all right now?
Good.
I'm all right now.
Okay, well, that's the important part, right? And how's your day been? You had a good day?
Yes. It's a freeze. It's like Parkinson's freeze. You just don't move. You just look like a statue waiting for the dose to kick in. It's quite nasty.
You're waiting for it to kick in.
Ah, okay.
I'll kick in now.
Right.
Have you seen Charlie Murray yogurt smacky drum?
Strawberry yoghurts?
No.
Yeah.
She's a pest, though. Charlie Marie, your beats like you're doing the video, music video. You know, training breath now. Shut up.
Hang on.
Train. And just train.
Start again, Jerry, because I'm finding it a bit difficult to understand what you're saying today.
I'll shut down.
Yeah. Just have a...
yeah, take a second. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Try again.
Have you seen the video to Charlie Marie, your beats like you're doing?
Kelly Marie.
No, I haven't seen that.
Heart beats like a drum. Yes, I do know that.
Oh, okay. It's a small boogie. Oh!
That's
such a tune.
Obscene.
That's such a tune.
This video is obscene.
It's obscene.
Is it, really? Why? I'm looking for it now.
Just pull it up on YouTube and then we'll get it up.
Does she give it a bit of thrusting and stuff?
No, it's all innuendo. It's all.
Oh, really?
It's all innuendo. She's in jumpsuit.
This reminds me of, like, family discos. Don't tell me it's rude.
There's two... I can audio describe it for you, if you like. There's a very heavily crimped woman in the middle.
Hang on, I'm having a look.
Kelly Marie.
And then
two gentlemen in pure gold jumpsuits. Sort of...
That's a semen.
Gyrating around.
Maybe it's a couple of giggles. It's rude.
What do you think? What? I mean, does something happen halfway through the song? What happens in the instrumental? The two gentlemen.
The climax happens in the.
Oh, well.
Just me watch it.
It's. I think it's a bit of Harmless Family fun.
Just a couple of years.
They're dressed as semen.
Okay.
Who's dressed as a semen?
Just put on camera official video.
Yeah. Oh, official video.
Right, now you're watching the Top of the Pops performance.
I'm watching
a couple of fellas in skin tight leotards.
Okay, so, alright, let's see if we can find it now. Oh, is it where they're dancing, like, on some steps?
Cannons.
Oh, okay, yeah, it looks
you're
like...
You're thinking of Cher astride that cannon into...
Oh, yeah, time. Okay, they're dancing on a boat. That everyone was doing that, weren't they, that era? Like, they're YMCA and stuff, the Village People. Everybody danced on a boat, didn't they?
Big cannons.
Yeah.
They are dressed as sailors in that one. What's wrong?
Ringing the bell.
Yeah.
Ringing the bell. Sticking their heads in the hole.
Yeah, they are sticking their heads in the hole, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, you know.
They do look like they would know her. Richard, Big Ben,
Cross the street.
You know, how come? Wow, Jerry, you know this video frame by frame. You're literally describing it as it unfolds on my computer.
Tower Bridge.
How do you know that?
Two towers at each end. Boom.
Jerry, Fountain. This is unbelievable. You're literally describing it. How can he see me? I'm not periscoping.
Yep.
Amazing.
Gary Nelson's column comes up.
Well, from time to time. The thing is, you're a bit... This sort of slightly reminds me of Mary Whitehouse, where, you know, she'd sort of watch something
He's
30
so
or 40 times.
He knows it frame by
yeah,
frame.
Just to make sure she knew how obscene something was before she complained about it.
Tell us another rude song, Bolt to the Bumper.
Oh, well, we all know what that's about.
Yeah.
Grace Jones, pull up to the bumper, baby.
What's that about?
It's a limousine. Push it up twice.
Well, I know. If you don't know, let's have a look at it. Let's have a listen to it. And,
right.
And what do you think it's about?
Okay, we're looking for Grace Jones.
Grace Jones, pull up to the bumper, baby.
You big black limousine.
You big black limousine.
Okay.
Big black limousine.
Okay, here
drive
we go.
I mean, between. It doesn't
drive it in between, for heaven's sake.
She's so quiet.
What, is she a bike park?
You're nice.
For goodness sake. This is unbelievable.
Be your own.
Get your padlock out.
It just says blow your horn.
Remember not to drive beside the long track.
She says blow your horn, does she? Well, let's find out.
Blow your horn.
Here we go.
She was a very naughty woman.
She was a... Yeah. Oh,
it's a
this
tune.
It's pure raunch.
It's a tune.
Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
What have you done to us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very sexy in the Elwing.
Very, yeah. I did like it when she slapped Russell Harty. I'll give her that.
Russell Harty.
Yeah. Okay, she's sort of jiggling her feet about. Oh, it's that tune. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I might play this on Radio Leeds.
Just to get down.
Yeah.
Here we go, here we go. Want to
get your big machine. Get your big machine. I don't understand. I don't understand. Sorry, Grace. I don't have a big machine. Oh, sorry. I don't understand.
Your long black limousine.
I don't understand. I've got a micro.
It's not practical, is it? It's going to scratch his bodywork.
I've got a white micro.
Do it.
Do it.
Don't try.
Here we go.
Jerry.
Do it.
See, Jerry waited patiently all those years and years of Beach Boys. This is your night, Jerry.
Okay.
Jerry's mixtapes.
Most classically I've seen songs that people sing karaoke weekend.
Another one?
Yeah, he can. Beautiful South.
Beautiful South?
And people sing that. Blissfully unaware to what the lyrics mean.
Oh, do you know what? I don't like the Beautiful South.
No, we don't. Yeah.
They're a bit clever.
Mm.
Yeah. They're just baiting in your face. Yeah, literally.
God.
I feel like there isn't enough innuendo anymore in music, you know? Those were the days. Yeah.
Those were the days when you wanted innuendo and someone gave you one.
Because, you know, Queen's innuendo had no innuendo in it.
In the bumper. Yeah, I mean, I just think that all those execs now, they just whip it out.
They do. It's all, you know, it's all right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going
up for normal fun. Sorry?
Harmless fun.
Yeah, harmless fun, exactly. Exactly, until someone gets hurt in the bumper. Jerry, we have to leave it there. We've got a break coming up.
My curry's arrived.
Your curry's
excellent.
Arrived!
Is it egg and mash again tonight, then, in the...
Yes, because, look, I've chicken me. Yes, me baps at me, curry's here.
All right. We won't get in between.
Enjoy it. Bon appetit. All right, night-night, Jerry. Thanks very much for calling. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call, particularly if you want to play hashtag name that stain.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
See, innuendo in songs is not new. This is Max Miller.
Now listen, boys, this is what they call a novelty number. It's a little number entitled Where Does the Hole Go When You Take Your Finger Out of the Water?
What?
Now, I should like to mention there's lots of la-di-da's in this number. So after each line, I sing la-di-da-di-da, and then I want you to sing la-di-da. I do a chorus first, and you'll get a rough idea what I mean.
There
you all right?
Yeah.
I know a pretty chorus girl. She's working in review. La-di-da-di-da-di-da. She's got a lovely figure. She's only 22. La-di-da-di-da-di-da. She's got a nice fur coat, her diamonds they are choice. She's got a flat in town, she runs a big Rolls Royce. I don't know how she got 'em, she hasn't got a voice. La di da di da di da. Got the idea, boys?
Yeah!
That's all there is to it, then. We go right on from now. 19 verses. A sailor's wife, she's come to live next door but one to me.
La di da di da di da.
The first day she got married, her husband went to sea.
La di da di da di da.
She said, I've had no honeymoon, I don't think that is right. Why should a smart young girl like me be left in such a plight? She's asked me round to try and fix her wireless set tonight.
La di da di da di da.
Ah, Max Miller, he was so great. Alex, how are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you, Jake. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm having a lovely time.
Nice.
And how's your day been? You all right?
Yeah, day's been all right. Yeah, been at work and just chilling now. It's good.
Yeah. What do you do? What do you do? Forgive my ignorance. You probably.
Well, no, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, I'm more of a kind of a actor, sort of improviser.
Oh. But, okay.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, that's not my day job. My day job's working in an office.
Well, that requires its own level of acting, I think. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I have to, you know, act, you know, like I'm having a good time and
nice. What would be what would be your dream role?
Oh, blimey. I don't know. So just like a comedy sketch show or something, or maybe something like that.
Okay.
You know, so run of the mill. I don't want to be too famous. I don't want to be too well known.
God, no, wouldn't that be awful?
Wouldn't be terrible.
Oh, imagine having all that money and success.
Oh, no, I don't want that. Oh, imagine it.
Thank God I'm on Talk Radio. would you like to play hashtag name that stain, or do you have something else you'd like to talk about?
Well, no, I think I want to get into this stain in a way. I really want to kind of
trust
work
me,
out what this is.
You need both.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say, I don't think it's man-made, if you know what I mean.
No, you're right, it's not man-made.
Yeah. So I've got a couple here, maybe orange juice, maybe.
Oh. It's good, but it's not right.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would say you've probably come as close as anyone has.
All right. So it's
just came out of my mouth, Kath. It wasn't.
Stop saying that.
Oh, that's even worse. The other ones I had was wax melt runoff.
Wax melt runoff.
You know, like a Yankee Candle type thing. Other ones are available.
Well, I am that classy, but no, not today.
Yeah. All right. Sunflower oil.
No. It's not going to be anything that requires Swarfiga.
Damn. I'm all out of ideas.
Well...
It's nothing oily.
Nothing oily. Nothing too oily. No. It's...
It won't be that persistent.
Okay, it's not oil.
Would you... What would you treat it with?
Oh, okay. I think water should do it, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe some baking soda? That's...
No, because the smell isn't unpleasant.
Oh, it's not an unpleasant smell.
No.
What do you think?
Oh, okay. Nice. Well, yeah, I'm all out of ideas, I'm afraid, on that one.
Alex, let's say we'll resolve this by midnight. Shall we say that? We're going to wrap this up by midnight. Otherwise...
I like that idea. I like that idea.
There'll be a lot of people holding on until midnight to find out exactly what is bothering me here.
Yeah, hashtag name this thing. Well, Alex, thanks for ringing us. Do you like songs with innuendos in, or would you rather people whip them out?
I like songs that have a kind of a hidden agenda, as it were.
Do you?
I quite like that. I mean, the one that really got me recently was when I listened to my Sharona properly, and I kind of thought, that's not good.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on in
there.
Oh,
my little pretty one. My pretty one.
It's the line where it says about, I'm not going to say it. It just sounds wrong when I say it. But you hear it in the song, it's fine. But if I say it out loud, it's going to sound really, really quite wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You've piqued my interest.
Is it
the song, or is it at the beginning?
It's as it builds into the my ooh, that bit. Okay. Never going to stop. Get it up, such a dirty mind, always get it for the touch of the younger kind, or something like that.
It's along those lines.
It's very dark. But then, I mean, the other songs as well I quite like. Ben by Michael Jackson. Not dirty in any way.
No.
But my colleagues were listening to it at work today, And I had to tell them it's actually from a film.
Yeah, it was about a rat, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Killer Rats. And they were completely thrown by that one. So. Songs of Hidden Agendas. Nice.
Yeah.
I've always felt the one that's most open to misinterpretation is Three Times a Lady.
Why?
No reason. Alex, thank you very much for talking to us this evening.
Absolutely.
And for sharing my Sharona. I had, yeah, that's, yeah, running down the length of my thigh Sharona.
Wait, oh, gosh, don't put length in a song. That can only
No, you can't. You're never going to do that. Length. No.
Gosh.
Terrible business. Alex, thanks for talking to us today. And good. Just before you go, we cover that. I'm going to shut up now. Bye.
Bye.
03444991000. If you'd like to play Guess That Stain, Matthew says with some assertion and all caps, it is a carrot-based smoothie.
Oh.
It is neither a smoothie nor smoothie.
Nor carrot-based. Hang on. I've got a winner.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Edward. Pineapple juice.
Ta-da! I should have a ta-da sound effect. Hang on, let me see if I can find a ta-da sound. Dan, ta-da, da-da, da-da!
Right. Oh, because today I felt like, normally when I drive into work, I've become obsessed with really boring sandwiches. Cheese and onion sandwiches.
Prawn.
No, just cheese and onion sandwiches. Like, obsessed with them. I've been having them every day. And knowing it's wrong.
Marge,
so right.
Butter.
Like from a supermarket. So I don't know what's in it apart from cheese and onion.
Oh.
And like on the white bread, there is a wholemeal alternative, but I go white bread because it's just like the most boring sandwich you can get. And I'm obsessed with them. But today I felt like something.
Why? What's.
I don't know.
Today, is it like a throwback thing? Is it like a nostalgia thing?
I don't know. I'm just in a groove at the moment with the cheese and onion sandwiches, or I had been. But because the weather's been nice, I craved something fresh and zingy today. So I bought some.
Just onion.
No, oh. I bought some pineapple fingers. And I was necking them in the car on the way in, like a seal. Oh. And then I realised it was all down my front. And I thought, it doesn't matter. That's mostly water, isn't it? That'd be fine. But then I realised by the time I got here, no.
Well, did you know there's enzymes in pineapple?
No.
Do you ever get like a bit of a sore tongue when you eat pineapple?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know why that is? Shall I tell you?
Go on. Enzymes.
There's enzymes in pineapple, which it basically is eating you alive.
Huh?
It is literally eating away at you.
Oh.
In an enzymic way.
Gosh. The fact. Revenge of the pineapple.
Pure fact. Can we have a bit more of Max Miller?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now. You got the idea. That's all you want. Just the idea. A pal of mine was once engaged to a girl named Clara Pig.
La-di-da-di-da-di-da.
He broke it off when he found out she'd got a wooden leg.
La-di-da-di-da-di-da.
I didn't quite believe it, and I said so to my chum. She hasn't got a wooden leg. To think so, you are dumb. Then he showed me half a dozen splinters he'd got in his thumb.
La-di-da-di-da-di-da.
Brilliant. It's class. You can't make it that stuff. He was amazing, Max Miller. He was a comedian in sort of the 30s and 40s. And what was always so clever was that he always forced his audience into complicity. He never went there, but he made the audience go there. So it was always the audience laughed because they'd been tripped up. You know what I mean? Like he'd forced them to join the dots and go the last length to turn it into something dirty.
Yeah.
And that was his genius.
Like Julian and Sandy.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Although I think a lot of the time with Julian and Sandy, they were laughing. They didn't know why they were laughing.
No, I think people had no idea what was good, but it sounded fruity and that was enough for them, wasn't it?
Yes.
He would always, Max Miller, he said he had two joke books. He said, I've got a little white book and I've got a little blue book. Now, do you want a blue joke or a white joke? And the audience, every time, blue joke. He's like, well, all right.
Is that where blue came from?
I don't know. But no, because I think he was exploiting that.
All right.
Do you know, why are blue things? That's a really good question.
Because, you know, in this country, red light, you know, and it's the connotation that it's something rude, you know, it's to do with prostitution or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In Spain, it's blue. It's a blue light.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and a dirty old man is a viejo verde, a green old man. A green, obviously, is in this country is more about innocence. So I don't know what the colours thing is.
That's interesting. Yeah. Why is something a bit blue? Why is it turning the air blue? What's that all about?
Yeah, what's
why
wrong the blue? With blue? What's the thing with blue?
Does anybody know? Or can they look it up?
Make something up.
Yeah. 034, you can make it up and then tell everyone. And then everyone around the country will go around saying, oh, I learned something yesterday. And then it won't be right. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Thought we could talk about dogs.
Why not?
Why not? Why not? Why not? There's two stories in the paper today. One's from the Daily Express, one's from the Times. Apparently, what breed of dog would you say was the brainiest dog?
Brainiest?
Yeah.
Probably not a breed, probably a mongrel, like a crossbreed.
I don't think that's on the list.
All right, so I have to pick, do I? I have to be, yeah, I have to be doggist.
Yeah, so yeah, you've got to be doggist.
A collie?
Bang on. Mm. Very good.
Yeah.
They are fabulous, aren't they, collies?
They're not my favourite shape of dog, but I know that they're clever.
And which one would you think was the dumbest?
Something like a beagle.
Before or after the cigarettes? Well, we it's commodify true, though, animals, don't we? Yeah, it happens. No, think more about, you know, the ones that are so inbred. I'm sorry, purebred. As to be pretty much deformed.
Right. Oh, so something like something with a flat face.
Yeah. One of those ones with the the face that someone's sort of taken a staple gun to. You know, that kind of click, 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 click.
Like a pug or
just
something.
Pinch, yeah.
I like pugs. Are they stupid?
They are as dumb as they come.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I like those. I think that they're characterful, but I didn't realise they weren't doing it on purpose.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid not. Sheepdog collies are easily topping a poll of the most intelligent breed. This is a poll, though. I don't think this is not empirically scientific.
Right, okay. My auntie always had, and my grandma always had boxers. And they look the part. I mean, I think they're very handsome dogs.
Yeah.
But if there's going to be a dog that headbutts a window, it's going to be the boxer dog, you know.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they just... If you're outside the house, they look like they're going to get through the window and rip your head off, right? But as soon as you get into the house, really what's going to happen is you're going to get covered in spit because they're really affectionate and dribbly.
David Hayes like that.
Is he?
No, he's just a boxer.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, he's been in here before. You want to be careful what you say.
The thing, he seems very smart, actually,
yes.
David
clever,
Hay.
Clever.
We're going to talk about smart boxers. Mm-hmm. He's the one, I think. I'm not saying that's not a frantic backtrack, by the way.
It sounded like
it's
one.
Not a frantic backtrack.
It sounded a lot like one.
Okay, it's a frantic backtrack. Anyway, sheepdog collies won 39% of votes. So this is just people's opinion, followed by German Shepherds, Labradors and Golden Retrievers. But pugs apparently are pretty dumb.
Are they?
Apparently, yeah. Animal psychologist Dr. Roger Mugford, who trained the Queen's Corgis. I'm so sorry, Your Majesty. I'm so sorry. I will pay for those shoes. He stood up for pugs. He said, the Border Collie is one of the most trainable dogs and keen to please, but there are lots of other dogs like that, and I'd make a distinction between compliance and problem-solving ability.
Oh.
Generally, all dogs are very clever at watching human behaviour and can learn how to manipulate people. Come off it! You want a cat for that!
Yeah, cats are running the show, aren't they?
Yeah. Who run the world?
Cats!
We should do that. That would go totally viral, mate. Or at least fungal.
It would go totally viral on, like, Twitter. People love a cat on Twitter, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. Who run the world?
Cats.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was that story about dogs, and there was another story about dogs. Which is, this is from the Times, Crufts competitors told, no bows, please.
Oh.
No bows, we're British.
Why?
So apparently some dog competitions around the world, you can put bows on your dog. But Crufts,
they do all kinds of
we're
things.
We're not having bows. No
they
bows.
Put, they put powder, talcum powder in their hair. They do all kinds of things to make them, you know, look better. They
I shall
Vaseline have their noses.
Hmm. Then what do they do? placing a bow on a Shih Tzu's head. Now, why did they choose that? This is the Times.
We know why they chose that.
Could become an unlikely act of resistance at Crufts this year after breeders were told to steer clear of the practice. Pat Maul, a judge at the dog show. It's unfortunate. Who had to be put down for nominative reasons. No. The show opens in Birmingham today. said that she would refuse to consider Shih Tzus wearing adornments of any sorts.
Oh, why? Can she not see beyond the bow?
Her request for a plain elastic band holding the top knot only, please, was made in accordance with new regulations from the Kennel Club.
Oh, so she doesn't mind them having their hair done?
Well, because they have that little sort of ponytail thing, don't they?
Yeah, but they don't. I mean, that's not natural, is it? Can they not cut?
Well,
the
none of it's natural.
Can they not cut the fringes.
How do you feel about Crufts?
I've not got. I mean, I'm not a dog person, so I've not really got massively strong feelings. But I do think that some dogs have been, you know, have been modified to the point of cruelty. Really,
I think we should go the whole hog. I think we should go further.
Go on.
I think we should genetically modify them to like maybe two legs and casters, you know, just for fun. We can modify animals. Why not? Carry on.
I went to interview a woman once who was a breeder for Crufts, and the dogs were beautiful animals, and obviously she was very, very proud of them. She looked after them great, but I do think there is a line to be drawn when you're putting nappies on a dog.
I say, keep going.
I mean,
don't
the dogs
stop.
Had nappies on and they weren't allowed outside at certain points.
Look at that. We breed chickens that can't stand unaided anymore. They grow so fast their bones can't support the weight of them.
Yeah.
Why not? Just keep going. Go the whole...
Yeah, but we're not breeding dogs to eat them. We're not, you know...
Why not? We should have a barbecue. Catherine, hello.
Yeah, what's all that about?
You what, sorry?
What's all that about?
Well, how do you feel about purebred dogs?
About breeding dogs.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, actually, I think it's a good thing.
You think it's a good thing? What, having...
I wish I could breed them.
Well, you can. Just take a dog, a man dog and a woman dog.
A few drinks, yeah.
I breed them in Ireland.
Oh, do you?
When I was living in Ireland, when I was at home in Ireland.
Really? What kind of dogs?
My mum had a big farm.
Really?
Yes, and I know a lot about animals.
And you sold the puppies, presumably?
Sorry?
Did you sell the puppies, presumably?
Yes.
Yeah? And was it a good business? Was it? Did you enjoy it?
It was a good business.
Yeah? What made you stop?
Well, I'm not on about that. I'm on about the budget.
Oh, the budget! Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting, isn't it? Let's talk about the budget. What would you like to say?
I was on about the budget.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, let's talk about the budget. Tell me.
Yeah, because that's what I was interested in. There was not animals. I saw it on later.
Okay, Catherine, crack on about the budget then. What did you want to say?
The budget.
Yes, tell us about the budget. What are your thoughts? Is it a good budget, bad budget?
I think the budget is very good this year, actually.
Yeah?
It's good for me. It's good for other people as well.
Why is it good for you?
If you own your own house, for instance, you're married and you have children, mm-hmm. and your children grows up and they leave home and their parents die, mm-hmm. One time they used to get that house and the government would take it over to pay for the parents to go into care. So they're doing away with all that.
Oh, I see. What about inheritance tax, though? That's all still there,
isn't it? I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I don't know, really. I mean, I think more money should be going into care for people because there's obviously a massive deficit. And you've got to find that money from somewhere.
No, but what they were actually doing, taking over the home.
Oh.
Taking over the house.
You mean they're having care in their own home rather than being put into a...
No. When the person dies...
Yes.
The family should get the home. Why should the government get it? But they're doing another scheme now. They're paying into a pension for all of that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, yeah, sure. Why not? All sounds good to me.
I don't know if you understand my Irish accent.
Oh, I know, I do understand. I just, honestly...
Where are you from?
Where am I from? I'm from Catford in southeast London, which is not far from Camberwell, where I believe you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like Camberwell?
I like your accent. I wish I could speak like you was posh.
Really? Oh, come on.
You've got a posh accent.
I know. And do you know how many kickings I got at school for that? It's unbelievable. I went to my local comprehensive school and they did not care for my accent. It was not fun. I just don't want people thinking, because I think some people hear my accent sometimes and they think, oh, he went to Oxford or Cambridge or Eton or somewhere like that. I didn't. I went to, I went to Catford and I got a lot of kickings. I paid for this accent. So what
you
made you...
You weren't educated anyway, I know that.
Well, you flatter me
hugely.
You went
to university.
I did for 12 weeks to do drama.
For 12 years.
12 weeks. I fled. I quit my course. I couldn't. I hated it.
Did you not like it?
No, I didn't like it. No, it wasn't for me. Did you go to university?
No.
I think it's...
I'm a nurse.
You're a nurse?
Yeah, I'm retired now.
Are you? And did you did you come over
to the voluntary work?
Where do you volunteer?
In Camberwell, I look after the elderly, anyone that lives on their own, and do voluntary.
Okay. So you've got quite a
sick in the hospital.
You've got quite a sort of personal investment in this budget news, then, that people get to hang on to their houses and stuff.
Yeah. So what do you work at? What you doing now?
Hard to believe, isn't it?
What's your occupation?
My occupation.
Work on the television.
Do you know? I never know what to say when people say, you know, what do you do for a living? And I write things. I read things out. Do you know what I do? Do you ever watch Dave?
Hello.
Do you ever watch the TV channel Dave?
Yes.
I am the excitable posh boy saying, have I got news for you? Tonight at 9 only on Dave. That's me.
What is this?
She sounds well impressed.
Yeah, she's blown away by that. Were you blown away by that, Catherine? Not so much.
Anyway, this is fun.
Oh, Catherine, thanks so much for calling.
Anyway, thanks very much for talking to you. You're very nice.
Oh, no, I had Thank a lovely you. Time talking to you, and keep up the good work with your volunteering.
All right, darling, bye.
All right, take care, night-night. That was Catherine. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call if you want to talk about the finer points of the budget, or indeed literally anything else at all. We'll be back with Jeremy after this.
Jake Yap, in for Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, very good evening to you. It's Jake Yap here, in for Ian Lee tonight and tomorrow night. And then, hopefully, I mean, Ian's at ACAS at the moment with Denny and the other talk radio management, hoping to resolve this strike situation. Obviously, I have very conflicted feelings about being here during a strike period. But then again, you know, I have a family. So I hope you can forgive me. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. Jeremy's done that. Hello, Jeremy.
Good evening, Jacob.
Good evening. How lovely of you to call.
Well, you know, I'm not a regular listener to the wireless, but can I just say before we start that you sound awfully like that rather excitable voice on Dave TV.
Oh, thanks very much. Yes. Well, that's more than coincidence, Jeremy.
Is it?
Yes. Yes.
And the chap called Ian Lee.
Yes.
Yeah, that's rather bizarre that he's chosen two first names rather than having a first name and a surname, isn't it, really?
It is, it is. I mean, so many other names he could have gone with. Hasty, that would have been a good first name.
It would.
Yeah.
It would. Anyway.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, we just talked about the budget, so we've covered that, unfortunately, if you hope we're hoping to talk about that. We've finished Guess the Stain. You, I think, have quite a good working knowledge of dogs, don't you?
I do have a working knowledge of dogs. In fact, if you can hear in the background, I have a dog who's trying to bury his way into a beanbag currently.
Okay. What breed would that be?
Well, that particular one is a dachshund. The one who's fast asleep at my feet is a collie. You were maligning collies earlier.
I wasn't maligning collies. I love collies.
Well, you were trying to compare collies and cats. I think actually collies and cats are the same breed.
I'll take that.
Although
I would say you try and get a cat to run halfway up a mountain and chase sheep about, they'd look at you like, dude, don't be stupid. Open the pouch.
Yeah.
Open the pouch. My cat. I worry about my cat.
With a quad bike and a bit of string, you can get a cat to run anywhere.
That's true. Yeah, and a pouch of catnip. I'm just saying that hastily, just in case the RSPCA is listening. I don't want another run-in with them. I did have one once. My cat, right?
My cat. What, the attack coach for the Italian rugby team?
No. No, my cat at home.
Not that my cat.
Not that my cat. No, I can see that's a very classy bit of wordplay you've done there. However,
have a cat called Mike for that very reason.
If you'd called next door, they would be rolling around to that one right now. If you called TalkSport, but I'm literally sport illiterate. My cat. I will persevere with this if it kills me.
Mike, do you know Mike Catt used to be the coach for London Irish?
There you go.
Catherine. Not my cat, but my cat. If my cat was the cage for London Irish, that would be quite impressive.
My cat? Right, he's quite a big boy. I don't think he's fat, but it's hard to see fatness in your own cat. But here's the thing. Every tea time, right, I give him his pouch of food.
When you say tea time, what's tea time?
Supper time. Supper time, right?
Supper time, okay.
So I feed him in the morning. He wolfs it down, looks at me like, I hate you. Is that it?
He wolfs it down?
Yeah, yeah.
What is he, a cat or a wolf?
He's a wolf cat. That might be the... Hang on.
Wolf cat.
I'm reaching a conclusion here. Tea time, right? Supper time, whatever you want to call it. I put the pouch of food down. He demolishes it in like a minute and then looks at me like, dude, come on. That's a joke. That's not a portion. That's a joke. And over the last few days, I just put down another portion and he completes it. And then he goes out. Now, he's either fat and I just can't see it because he's my cat, or he's genuinely metabolizing that much food. And he's quite athletic. It's not like he does run about and stuff and he has a lot of fights.
Mm.
Or he's like a bulimic or something.
I have a similar issue with my wife.
How many pouches a day is she on?
She does consume a few pouches.
That's... Jeremy.
Are we on the 5-second delay?
Or... Yes, I've got the dump button and my finger is hovering over it. Don't make me dump you, dude.
Jacob, I would never do that to you. You know that. Anyway.
Am I right in thinking that your wife, she trains dogs, right?
She does, actually. Yeah. So, no, she would say that she trains people.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So,
Because I've always thought that, you know, things like choke chains would work really well. You just put them on the owners, right? You put them on the owners.
It's a good job she's gone to bed because she would stab you in the eye for saying that.
I'm saying you should put them on the owners.
You're absolutely right. But, yeah. I came from a farming background.
Right.
Where we used to, I used to shoot and hunt and all of that barbaric stuff that... used to be okay in my youth, and the way we used to train gun dogs was you know, by fear and by correcting them, as they used to say.
Crikey!
But it was awful. Yeah, it was. I knew nothing else when I was doing that.
Hmm.
But Corinne runs her business completely on force-free handling, force-free training. And the speed of results on force-free handling is about 1,000% better,
really,
than you would ever achieve in what they would call the old way. My uncle is a well-known sheepdog trainer, and he would look at her very quizzically when she would say the reward is far better than punishment. But I've watched him train dogs and I've watched her train dogs, and the speed with which she gets results is far greater.
But she's a very spiritual person, Jeremy. She's a very spiritual person.
It's not working on me. she's gone away from force-free handling when it comes to trying to train you. But
and did it work? Seems to have worked.
It works. I think she thinks she's getting there.
Yeah. And how many pouches a day are you on?
I'm on far fewer pouches a day than I used to be, actually. I've lost 11 kilos since Christmas.
What?
Yes.
That's amazing. Was it all in the garden? Because that's where my cat...
Mike been working in the garden. Mike Cat has actually been working really hard on the Italian.
Well, I tell you, look, I'm happy to helm a conversation I have absolutely no understanding of. And I will tell you that Nat has been in touch on Twitter and says Austin Healey is a hell of a lot better looking than Mike Cat.
Do you know what? Austin Healey is an absolutely top bloke. I have... spent a lot of time with Austin, and he is a very, very funny, interesting, decent bloke.
Interesting.
Who didn't achieve the success with England that he should have done.
Oh, tell me about it, mate. You're listening to Talk Sport 2? Let me ask you this, right, because you may not have been listening a couple of nights ago. We had what I thought was a very interesting conversation, right, about alpha males. Okay.
I was listening. I commented, didn't I not?
Oh, was that? I don't know.
I think, yeah.
So, and my theory that, like, most blokes, staunchly heterosexual.
You read my story out. Actually.
Yeah, your brothers, yeah, whatever. I can't remember. Do you subscribe to my theory that most blokes, when they're in the presence of a palpably alpha male, they're not particularly sexually attracted to them, but they probably let them have a go just out of respect?
Do you know what? I really quite liked the chap that you had on who was clearly very comfortable with his own skin, shall we say?
Yes.
And other people. He said, "Well, I don't know what an alpha male is," kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I really like that. And I think most of my and you know the kind of chums I have, the guys hanging around with, just say, "Yeah, absolutely, alpha male. What's that?"
Yeah,
alpha males are generally twats. Alpha males are generally people who are trying to overstretch their own masculinity.
I worked with a comedian called Adam Riches. He's very funny, comedian, and he did a show in Edinburgh called Alpha Males. And the idea of it was, you know, he did these characters, and they were all sort of people trying to be alpha males. And the sort of shtick of his show was that he would sort of try to improvise with members of the audience. So he'd sort of pull them up and do things around them. And the thing was that whichever the character was, it was always about him sort of managing to coerce a member of the public into doing something on stage, and it was all very sort of funny. And I sort of, but a little bit of me was kind of like, yeah, but you actually have to be the alpha male here, don't you? You know what I mean? Like, for all of his sort of knowing, ha, look at these alpha males, ha, but I am really. You know, it just felt like that. I feel awfully disloyal saying that. He put me in his play. He was a very nice man.
I had quite an interesting situation a number of years ago at the TV awards that they do at the Albert Hall. Is that the ITV awards or the National TV awards or whatever?
The BBC could never afford that. It's got to be the National Television Awards.
I'm saying that, but as you know, I'm not a television watcher.
Are you sure it wasn't a prom?
No, no, no. It was a thing where EastEnders won a big award. So it must have been BBC. Is EastEnders BBC, right?
Yep. My goodness, so, you really don't watch TV, do you?
I really don't. But anyway, so there was a bloke in our box who used to be on EastEnders, mm-hmm. who then did a whole load of series about special forces and hard men. And
I know who you're talking about, yes.
I can't for the life of me remember his name. But
I'm Ross Kemp, and I'm very hard.
Yeah, exactly him. That was him, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, I was there with two chums, and he'd just done a whole series based on special forces.
Okay.
And a couple of my mates, you know, might have been involved in that kind of environment.
Yes. So, I tell you what, you're going to have to finish this story after the news. I'm so sorry. We've got a break for the news. We'll be back.
Talk radio.
Yes. It's the dying seconds of Thursday. We're moving into Friday. Still to come, we've got Good Morning China. And we've got some Choose Your Own Adventure erotica. Stay with us. We've got the news headlines now.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Jake Young, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Welcome to the final hour of the show. This is the best hour there is. Earlier we were talking to Jeremy. We've got Good Morning China coming up. Stuart Wigan is waiting to talk to us. But we're talking to Jeremy, who shared a box with Ross Kemp, a man who tries to be hard when really he's just being growly, when his voice, naturally, I think, is probably quite squeaking high. Jeremy, you left us before the news in the box with Ross Kemp at the National Television Awards. What happened next?
I didn't actually name the aforementioned person as Ross Kemp.
It may not have been Ross Kemp.
It may or may not have been
Ross Kemp. I'm sorry. Forgive me. For legal reasons, this was probably not Ross Kemp.
Anyway, so I was there with a chap who I know to have done some fairly heroic things in the name of the country. Mm-hmm. And Ross Kemp wandered over to him. He said, some geezer just told me that you were in the SAS. Looking at you, I don't believe it. And my dear friend said, some geezer told me that you got beaten up by your wife.
Oh my God.
Looking at you. Yeah, I can see that.
Wow.
And he kind of wilted fairly quickly and scuttled off into the corner.
I did not know that the SAS train you in banter.
I don't know. He's a lethal weapon in every respect.
He's absolutely incredible. What a guy. Jeremy, thank you for sharing your memories of a TV presenter. We're not quite sure who it is at all for legal reasons. Are we covered, Kath? We must be covered. Surely we're covered. Not covered. Totally covered. Jeremy, it's always lovely to talk to you. Call anytime.
Always, Jacob.
Lovely to speak to you. Let's have a little bit of the great man himself, shall we?
The cigarette and the... trying to kill me in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
No?
Give me a minute. You're holding us up?
Give me a minute.
Have you got a gun on you?
Give me a minute.
Show us your round. Where's your round in it? Where's your round? Show me your gun.
Sit down.
Come on. Show us your gun.
Sit down. Give me a minute.
Yeah.
Really?
Give me a
minute. Is this for real?
You going to kill me? You going to kill me? Really?
Yeah.
No, it is.
Sit down.
Are you going to kill me?
Sorry.
You going to kill me?
Sit down.
No? You going to kill me?
He'd only asked where the cloakroom was. Unbelievable. Anyway, that was a bit of fun there. We had a lot of fun. I don't really understand any of that or what was happening there. I wouldn't worry about it, everybody. Thanks very much. It's time now for Britain's brightest, breeziest and, well, let's face it, earliest breakfast show. It's time for Good Morning China.
Good Morning China. On Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. China is, of course, probably the world's foremost economy. And I think they bought us. I can't remember. They were buying bits of us. I think they bought all of it now. And so with that in mind, we thought it would be a really good idea to find out what's going on in China with, the earliest breakfast show for China, because they're waking up right now. Someone who's already woken up and is over in Beijing as we speak is Stuart Wiggin. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jake.
Yes. To you too.
Yes,
I am nailing this by tomorrow.
You are almost.
I'm going to have this completely locked down. So you're speaking to us live from Beijing. Thank you for joining us. Is it a nice day there?
Yeah, it is quite a nice day. I think it's a bit overcast. Maybe there's some smog on the horizon. Maybe I think I'll have to wait in the afternoon to find out.
Is there really smog? Like that's a proper thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? In Beijing, the problem is. It's very smart. It's very hard for you to blow away. So that's the idea.
You wait for it to blow away. Stu, yeah, I don't know. Whichever corner of your flat it is that you stand in for these phone calls, it's the wrong corner.
Oh, no.
It's hard to hear you again. Or maybe it's smog. Maybe it's all atmospheric.
Is that better?
That is a bit better, actually. Yeah.
All right, let's try this then.
Yeah. Okay. Just keep going with your left hand.
I'm actually hanging out the balcony now, so...
Oh, really? Thank you very much. Now, a couple of things that you suggested we could perhaps talk about. One is Marks and Spencers. What are they doing in China?
Well, if you are a fan of Marks and Spencer, you might like to know that there's a 50% sale on at the moment in China.
No way.
And the reason why is because they're closing down. They've only been here for about 2 years.
Really?
And I think, the Chinese market's already sick of them. So what happens is a lot of big brands come to China, because obviously Chinese people like brands, and Marks failed. And I know why. I'm pretty sure I know why. I went into Marks myself and they were selling packets of frozen rice, which surely
that
they don't need to sell in China.
That there's a company won a contract. You say that though. There was a news story a couple of months ago about a company in I think the Midlands who had won a contract selling rice products. I think it was like a £40,000 contract selling rice to China. I mean, it's the new coals to Newcastle, isn't it?
It's a bit weird. But I think the thing about Marx was it was so expensive as well. Who would buy expensive frozen rice
from
China? No matter, regardless of how cool Great Britain is in the Chinese psyche, which it isn't.
Is it not? But wouldn't that be a great status symbol thing in China to say, check this rice? Oh, yeah. Marks and Spencer's rice.
I guess so. Yeah. Maybe.
You know, this is
obviously not. It didn't work. The dream is over.
Well, that's
block for it, perhaps.
I'm so sorry. You're going to have to dangle off your balcony again because you're breaking up again. The second story was Legoland. Completely gone now. Heartbreaking. We'll never find out what happened with Legoland. Terrible. Well, that was Good Morning China. A slightly abridged. Are we going to put him back on? Is he there? Is he coming back on? Let's see what goes on. What's the matter, does it really? Good morning. You all right? How's it going? How's your day so far? You're only 9.5 minutes in. Later on, we've got some Choose Your Own Adventure erotica. If you haven't been listening this week, it's been a fabulous story. It's the story of Love Tristan Shittlingthorpe in Yorkshire. And we've had some great suggestions for where the story could go for tonight's episode from Andy. It's going to involve the Mile High Club with a flight attendant and a female passenger. Anyway, Stuart's back. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, that's good. Whatever you've done, it works.
Okay,
it's the tinfoil hat.
I'm going to keep very still.
Do not.
And not move, and hopefully Obama won't be tapping my phone line or anything.
That's right. Well, they can watch you through the televisions now. So tell us about Legoland.
Okay, so look, thankfully, Legoland is coming to China, and it's joining the group of big theme parks that have already arrived or planning to arrive. Disneyland opened last year in Shanghai. Legoland is going to open in a few years in Shangai. There have been teething problems at Disneyland already.
Tell me.
There were some reports of people queuing up with their kids and letting their kids go to the toilet, number one or number two, just in the queue or in the bushes. And Disney had to try and clamp down on that, basically. I think they've dealt with it.
Yeah.
People, please use the toilets. Don't use...
It's understandable. I mean, you do queue for a long time sometimes in these theme parks, don't you? I've never really thought about that. What do you do?
I guess so, but I've never... At any theme park I've been to, I've never seen anyone let their kid defecate in the queue.
Is it true? I heard from a friend that in China, little kids, kind of instead of nappies, they wear special trousers that have like a split at the back. So that if you sort of bend them down, they're sort of the trousers just naturally open at the back. Is that true? And you can just hold them over a gutter?
I mean,
is that true?
Yeah, it is true. A certain cross-section of society do that. And they're not so much special trousers, they've just had a hole cut in them at the back. So they're just trousers with a big hole in. That is true. Yeah.
I would love a pair of those. That would make my commute much easier.
Hole, Jake.
It would have to be a very big hole.
Very big hole.
Oh, yeah. Let's not plant that thought in people's heads, because that's... But yeah, it would have to be a big hole. But I would get a seat to myself.
Yeah, it does. It does also mean that kids can go anywhere. So on the subway, in buildings, in a McDonald's. Anywhere, yeah.
Is that a bit of a problem there?
Well, you can get too much of a good thing, can't you? And you shouldn't put that hole in your trousers.
Okay, I'll think. I the other morning I was coming in to do a Sunday breakfast show here, and I got into my cab, and there was
you went in the cab.
There was It was worth it. 25 quid is nothing these days. No, I No, I got in and I sort of heard a slight faint noise, and I suddenly I felt this really lovely feeling on my bottom, sort of nice, sort of airy lightness, and I'd never done this before, but I had split my jeans like all the way up the back seam, like it. I looked like a Chinese baby.
There you go. You've already got a special pair of trousers. There you go. Just try it out next time.
I wish I kept them. I wish I kept them now. Fortunately, by pure luck, I had a spare pair of jeans in my bag. So,
that's my... what that is lucky.
Yeah. That was lucky, wasn't it? There you go. Well, so I think you should try it. Maybe you should try it for your next video.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
There's a lot of there was a lot of no in your maybe there.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm not going to be invited to the next editorial meeting, am I? Fine. That's fine. Stuart, thank you for joining us. If people want to see some of your fabulous comedy videos, where can they see them?
Go to Twitter and add me on China Comedy Stew, STU, that's all one word, China Comedy Stew, or go to Facebook and follow us there, Comedy in China.
We'll do it. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you at the same time tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, Jake.
All right, take care. Sorry, say that again. Yeah.
A bit like Auf Wiedersehen. Until we meet again, we'll meet again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Good morning, China. On Talk Radio.
We need to move him into another flat. You should watch his videos, though. They are really ace. The one where he eats drunken shrimp is dark. They are leaping out of the bowl as he eats them. And he doesn't like my idea about putting a hole in your trousers. I'm telling you. At China Comedy Stew. Let's talk to Dennis in Dunstable. Good morning.
Evening. Now then, what about BVDs, back vented drawers? They used to wear them at one time, underwear.
Yeah.
Where you could go to the toilet, either drop a flat at the back or it had a slit in the back. So you took your trousers down, but you didn't take your inner thing, like.
BVDs, back vented drawers. I did not know that was a thing.
They used to, well, the old cowboy used to wear them.
Did they really?
Yeah. Because you didn't have any washing, you know. And so,
yeah.
The toilet, they just dropped the trousers, but there was either a flap at the back or a slot at the back.
That's amazing. Did you have any?
No, I didn't.
No.
Oh, no, thank you very much. I wasn't a cowboy.
Was that an American thing? Did that exist in this country?
Yeah, it's an American thing, yeah.
Yeah, wow. I had...
If you ever see the film Seven Brides and Seven Brothers, you'll see them. They've all got BVDs on.
Have they? Yeah. Is that what those were, those... I'm trying to think.
Underwear, long underwear.
Oh, yeah, the long johns.
Yeah, they never took them off.
Never, ever.
But you put them on at the beginning of winter, probably stitched them on, and never took them off.
Oof. And yeah. And they wondered why they couldn't get girlfriends.
That's right. They wash them afterwards.
That was a great film. I think Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is... I think it's got the greatest dance sequence ever committed to celluloid.
When the place falls apart.
The barn-raising sequence.
Yeah, that's great.
Ah, it's the best. It really is the best.
Very carefully measured so that when the last bit goes down, nobody gets hit.
Yeah. No, it was so good. And I loved, Singing in the Rain, like the main dance. I think everyone would say that's the one, isn't it? But actually... I think the barn dance sequence is probably the best. It was so good. If you haven't seen it, you should watch the barn dance sequence from Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. It's just brilliant.
Right.
And it's a sort of a duel, isn't it? You've got the seven blokes and they're courting these seven women. And then there's seven village boys who, they think they're the ones.
Yep.
And through dance, they have a bit of a standoff. And it just builds and builds and builds. It's so good.
A couple of those dance, actually ballet dancers.
You know, they were, weren't they? The guy with the beard, who looked a bit... I don't know. He looked a bit full of himself. So they all had back-vented drawers, did they?
Well, the cowboys did, anyway.
Yeah.
In fact, when the woman comes in the first place, she takes them off while they're in bed.
That's right.
These things, and has them washed.
Ooh.
Oh, no, they're looking round for the clothes, and she's got these... She's still got the vented drawers on, so she says, well, let's just strip them off, and you're going to get no breakfast.
Well, now, let me throw this at you, right? Let me ask you this question, right? Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, an undeniably joyous film. However, some of it is dodgy. There's a song that's really about what a funny idea it is to abduct women, right? It's not cool. However, my mother, right?
Sobbing women.
The sobbing women, based on the Sabine women. This is in Roman times, they got abducted. It's an awful story. There's a bit of Stockholm syndrome thrown in for good measure. They ended up falling in love with their captors. It's terrible. Terrible! Good family fun. I would also throw at you the lyrics from I'm a Lonesome Polecat, which in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, it's a sort of plaintive song where the men are singing about how sad they are that they can't get a girlfriend, and they sing, I'm a lonesome hound dog howling at the moon because I can't find no feminine hound dog who promised to be true. And they're all out in the winter in the woods, in the backwoods.
Flashing around with an axe.
Yes, that's the one. And the lyric then continues, a man can't sleep when he sleeps with sheep. And then there's another couplet, can't make no vows to a herd of cows. Now, notwithstanding that...
Sorry, now, there's music on.
Sorry. I love this piece of music. I listen to this music, like, every week. I'll come on to that in a second. So, my mother threw at me the concept that actually it's a feminist film. She said... She said it's about how women civilized the Wild West. What do you think? What do you think, Dennis?
Well, I think women have done a lot of things like that. This is why it's a woman's day today. I think, we couldn't do without them, for God's sake.
Do you really think it's a woman's day?
Yeah, well we just had the woman's world's woman day. I mean, everybody's been very fancy and... I've got a nice woman, mother, for nearly...
Yeah, it was International Women's Day yesterday.
Well, I've had my
day man before,
nearly 70 years, so, you know, we've done all right.
Yeah, you have done all right. I just want to check, did I do the break, or am I just overrunning horrifically? I'm overrunning horrifically, I thought I was, yeah, just checking. I got quite carried away with Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Dennis,
the best for the day, bye-bye.
Are you off? Okay, bye-bye, Dennis, thank you so much for calling.
All right.
Oh, bless you. All right, well, maybe talk tomorrow, yeah? Talk tomorrow. And bye-bye. Oh, that was the sound of a proper old-fashioned telephone, wasn't it? That was lovely. I guess we should have a break and I should stop playing this music. It's heartbreaking. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jacob in for late-night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yeah. So, back-ventilated... drawers.
Yeah, I know what those are.
Yeah, Michael's confirmed. You used to be able to get onesie-like long johns with the escape hatch at the back. You always saw them in cartoons,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, babies always had their bums hanging out, didn't they?
So you didn't have to take them off when using the car. They were cozy. I find that way hard to deal with. Anyway, right. Just final note, right, on musicals, because it's not everybody's thing. I respect that. I actually hate most musicals, but the ones that are good are really good. This recording of the music from the barn dance scene... in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. It's from the John Wilson Orchestra.
Right.
This guy, John Wilson, I remember hearing him on the radio about 25 years ago when he was, like, a kid. He was, like, a music school graduate. And he had started... He realised... He loved this musicals stuff, right? And set about trying to, like, get a score of the music to play and stuff. And discovered that it was all trashed. There were no scores available. From all the great musicals, Singing in the Rain, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, All of them.
So you just have just to listen and copy it.
By MGM. So he, note by unrelenting note, transcribed this by ear. And now he has this orchestra, and all he does is go around the country playing this music.
As you would if you'd spent the time writing it all down.
I mean, look how complex it is. Yeah, big finish. And it is bang on. Like, he has nailed it.
So MGM just went, right, job done, bin that.
It was already binned. Well, oh, yeah. So, yeah, they junked the lot.
Wow.
And this guy was like, this is some of the finest musical composition and arranging of all time. And what's really lovely is he does a prom every year and it sells out. It's the first one to sell out. And what I really like is the respect that they accord that music, because the people commentating on it said, these musicians will be exhausted by the end of this concert. This is not like doing Brahms. This is exhausting and the most technically difficult music you could ever play. And you can see they're so busy. But do you know what? Every single musician is beaming from ear to ear.
Because it's a riot.
Because it's just joy. Mm-hmm. It's what they were born to do. And he does like the music from like Tom and Jerry movies.
Oh my.
And he has people doing like the Foley, the sound effects and the screaming and...
Thomas! That?
I don't know if they do that bit.
That was my childhood, all that stuff.
Yeah. And he did it all. It's fantastic stuff. John Wilson Orchestra. If you ever get a chance to see them live, they're constantly touring. Have a look. I am going to be singing a song from a musical.
Are you?
In a new night, which Dave Cribb, the executive, if you don't mind, producer of John Holmes' show.
Is that because he doesn't rock up every day?
He just doesn't show up. So call him an executive, call him a consultant, whatever. He's organised this new musical comedy night, and I'm going to sing a song in it.
What are you
going to
sing?
I'm going to do... I'll let you in on a secret, because it's 12:30 and...
No one's listening.
Well, it's a very select coterie of people.
Go on.
This is my shtick, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to say... a great honour to be here. They've got really good people like Sarah Pascoe and Chris Haddison, all kinds of people.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on. I'm going to say, I'm delighted to be here. Don't know much about musicals. Dave, because he's going to be playing the piano
for the
whole thing. Yeah. He's a brilliant pianist.
A massive pianist.
And I'm going to say, look, he's picked the song out for me. He says it's great. It's called Yes Indeed. And it's from Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Okay. Gene Kelly, Frank Sinatra, great fun family movie. And so, I honestly don't know the song very well, right? So Dave's going to sing the first verse and then I'll do it. And it's sort of supposed to be sung by Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra, okay. So, you know, whatever. So Dave will sing the first verse.
Does Dave sing?
Let's hope so. The first verse, and it's a sort of bragging song. It's these two lads talking about, hey, we went on this tour. We went all over the States. I went to Boise and Idaho and I met this girl and she was great, but then I had to go and roll out of town and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
It's hilarious. And so then I'll do the next one. And I sort of get into it and get quite excited. Like, hey, lads. Ha! Oh, we're having some fun here. And the chorus goes, yes, indeed. And I'll start to get into it. And then I'll take the next verse. And it's this look of horror will come across my face. I mean, it's so awful that I don't even know if I could broadcast it. But this is the lyric, right?
Go on.
Look, if it sounds weird in about 20 seconds time, it's because we've had to dump it, right? Okay. You can just tell me, right? So stand by, Ed. Stand by. It goes, I met a gal in Mississippi, a southern belle by the name of Jo. We hugged and kissed and I thought love had got me dippy. She called me Lucky Seven, said my kisses were from heaven. Then I found she was ill.
Whoa!
Is that a dump? I don't know. Is that
it's
a dump?
It's not a dump, but it's highly inappropriate, man.
And so,
is that really?
That's what Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly sang that.
Gosh.
And so at that point, I'm going to look horror stricken. Like, Dave, what? I can't sing. What? And he'll just carry on with his, like, yes, indeed. Yes. And I can't sing this. This is awful. And then the whole thing will just implode in that way.
And that flu did it. That was a family.
Great fun family film.
Wowzers.
But then again, of course, that wasn't a time when Jerry Lee Lewis married, was it an 11-year-old?
His cousin. Yeah, I think she was about 12, yeah.
I mean,
Still, holy don't make smokes. It right, does it?
Holy smokes! No, it doesn't. But, yeah. Gosh. Lots of fun. Lots of fun there. Yeah. We'll be back in 45 seconds. How about that? Ed, put your... what are you doing? Unbelievable. Press the button.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
03444991000 is the number to call. We can squeeze you in ahead of our Choose Your Own Adventure Interactive Erotica. Julie, who we spoke to earlier, has tweeted us a frankly arresting picture of some BVDs for the modern age, back ventilated drawers.
Really? Let's have a
yeah,
look.
Yeah, you want to have a look. It's updated for today's hipsters. She says, you're welcome.
Good grief.
Yeah. They just don't bother with a flap.
Right.
Just have a hole.
Going on
I believe they're known as assless chaps, aren't they? In some
well,
but not here. Okay,
that's that fine. Chap appears to have one. Maybe yes, not a lot of pant.
Palpably does. yeah,
I guess yeah. It's like it's the modern version of a jock strap. You know, so you're wearing trunks, but you're not. I don't really see the point, but there we go.
No, but to be honest, I never really
apart
saw.
From a bit of fun, a bit of cheeky fun.
Very cheeky. Yeah, it's one of those things. It is you get hit by a bus, you know, like that's. It's, but one day, ironically, I was.
I can
wearing,
explain.
Yeah, I'm from Shoreditch. Okay.
I can't think of the practical application for that apart from cheeky fun.
It can only be cheeky fun, right? Because or parking bicycles, because that, like you can't.
Potato prints.
In what context? I mean, how pressed for time are you? That, I mean, how many
he's
seconds?
Put pants on, but he might as well not have.
Yeah, like you can't. When I go to the loo, it's like it doesn't take that long. You still got to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all, honestly, I tell you why this annoys me, right?
Yeah, you're annoyed now, are you?
I'm getting the ump. Right, I'm pushing things away. Right, I'm getting the ump. I'm checking the exits. I'm seeing what like it's going to get proper naughty in here, right? I'm getting the ump, right? You're giving me the ump. He's giving me the ump, and
they're them, giving you
them pants. He's giving me the ump, right?
The right ump.
I was having a nice evening, right, till I saw them. It's like it's exactly the same as the word veggies,
right?
Who is so busy and important that they don't have the time to say vegetables?
Yeah.
You know, veggies.
Yeah.
And then there's like pointless abbreviations, like Mobi.
What's that?
Mobile phone.
Oh, is it?
Oh, let me check my Mobi. Just say phone.
Phone. Who says Mobi?
It's not even more efficient. It's just some weird...
You know what they call it in Germany? A handy.
Oh, pardon me?
Mein handy. Voice mein handy.
Voice mein handy.
Yes.
Weirdly, we've got some German. Are you all right on German? Because you've got some German in the interactive erotica coming up.
I did German GCSE in a year. And only,
did you?
Yeah, I only got a B.
Ein Jahre.
Ein Jahr. Ich möchte ein Erdbeereis und Sahnebitter. It's all I can remember.
Strawberry ice cream with...
With no cream.
With
I don't
no
even
cream.
Like ice cream. It's a completely unuseful phrase for me.
Ich möchte ein Bockwurst mit Senf.
Oh, what's Senf?
Mustard.
Mustard.
Mm.
Okay.
My German teacher, who I've spoken about before,
mm-hmm.
he...
Ach ja.
Pardon me?
Ach ja.
Ach ja. What on the... He wasn't like... Well, actually, now I think back.
Come on.
He used to wear those shirts with, like, a different colour collar to the rest of the body of the shirt.
Oh, okay. What, darker? So
white collar, burgundy shirt oh, and burgundy tie.
Business guy.
Ich bin ein Businessman, ja. He tried to cheat with me during my oral.
Explain. Was he mouthing the answers?
I was being... Yes! He mouthed at me when we were having oral. He was mouthing. So he's like, und was machst du mit der blah, 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 blah? And I'd look at him and go, all I said, my whole German oral. And I got an A, but all I said was perhaps. The whole time. Oh, vielleicht, vielleicht. Oh, any question. Oh, vielleicht. I have no idea, mate. But anyway, so, was machst du mit... And then he'd do that.
Oh, outrageous.
I was like, what? Perhaps.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that was the start of teachers being judged on, you know, exam results and stuff. And man's got to make rent.
I think if anyone needed money to buy hipsters woolly back flap undies, it was my German teacher. No, I'm not even kidding.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so that was him. That's what he did. You can't do that, can you?
My English teacher let us write in our books, and that was strictly verboten.
It's well verboten.
Mm-hmm. Well naughty.
Terrible.
No wonder we all did really well.
Well, Adrian says on Twitter, in the Australian production of The Sound of Music, they had to change the Mother Superior's line, "What is it you can't face?" due to the accent. I don't understand that.
What is it you... Is that right? Is that true, Adrian? Or is that just a cheeky joke?
I wandered straight into that one, didn't I?
I don't think they ever changed it, but there's always a...
Noticed that before?
Yeah. Every time I watch Sound of Music, that's the line you wait for.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm never going to be able to watch that again. I used to love that so much, and then the older I get, the more I'm not going to say I sympathise with the Nazis, but... But those kids.
Oh, man.
But you know what I mean.
It's so hard.
They're horrible kids, weren't they?
This is the hard thing, right? That so many films got ruined by bad kid actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seemed to be, well, you're the right height, in you come.
My dream team, right? If I could pick a dream team child actors from movies.
Temple.
I'd have, who's that?
Shirley Temple was a good actress.
No.
What?
Well, I mean, maybe.
Rooney.
I'd have Jemima from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, yes.
Coupled with the boy from Mary Poppins.
Oh.
He was brilliant. Michael. Yeah. Michael in Mary Poppins.
Well, Michael died young, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it's sad.
He was brilliant.
He was great. Jane and Michael. Banks.
Bloom. If you want this choice position, have a cheery disposition.
Oh, rosy cheeks, no warts.
That's the bit I put in.
Play games, all sorts.
Yeah.
Never be cross or cruel. Never give us castor oil or glue.
Gruel.
Treat us as a son and daughter.
And never smell of barley water. That's the bit I put in too.
They were adorable, actually, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because you watch it as a child and take for granted that, oh, yeah, they're kids. Now you watch it as an adult, you think, they're so tiny.
Yeah. Tiny, tiny, tiny. So it's really hard. But, you know, you look at, like, Pete's Dragon. Potentially a great movie. Mm. But it's not...
Now, I've got the new one.
The kid.
Have you seen the new one?
No, is it good?
I don't know. I've got it at home. I've not watched it yet.
But the music, man, the music from the original was... Oh, it was fantastic.
It was groovy, wasn't it?
And Jim Dale.
Yes. We interviewed him. We had him on the show.
Did you?
Yes. It's the best. I've got his phone number.
What?
He's brilliant. He's brilliant. And what a nice man. Yeah.
He was fantastic in that. Passam Makwadi. No, not the Passam Massey. No, no. Pakwa Masadi. No, no. Amazing.
Yeah.
But kind of a lousy film.
Well, you look at it now and it's very dated, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's always difficult when you have a kid right in the centre of a film who we're all supposed to adore and if they just can't, if you can't get there.
No. Tell you who is good, though. Yeah, have you seen the new Jungle Book? I say new.
Oh, is it good?
The boy in that is brilliant.
Really?
Yeah. Really natural.
What age do you think children would have to be to see that film?
Well, my kids saw it. And it is a little bit scary, but my youngest is 5.
Okay.
They like scary stuff, actually, to a point.
Up to a point.
Yeah.
And then they have weird dreams.
Listen, no one gets their heads ripped off. That's my
just
device.
Limbs. Blood gushing. Fine. Well, we've been putting it off and we've been skirting coyly around it, but it's time for some Choose Your Own Adventure Erotic. Yeah, yeah, it's coming up for time and we're going to have it right after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, indeed. It's Jed Yap here with Catherine Bourne. All right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
And she's limber. She's ready. All this week, we've had an interactive choose-your-own-adventure erotic story called Love Behind the Lines, where you get to decide what happens next.
It's gritty and sensual.
It's very sensuous. And thank you for your contributions so far. We have Andy to thank for his suggestions for today's showstopper. And we'll have the spectacular climax at this time tomorrow night.
You know, there are people asking for an omnibus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we should stitch it together. These have been quite funny.
Okay.
Yeah. The story, it's a tale of George and Bess were trapped in a mine shaft in Yorkshire. And Bess's mother, Fanny, went and reported her being missing to Inspector Kex. But the plot advances quite radically tonight, mainly thanks to Andy's suggestions. So here we go. Let me get rid of this
Andy.
Bit. Sorry, I just need
Thanks,
to cross
Andy.
Out this bit that says the story so far, because I've sort of done the story so far. So let's have the music, and it's time now for episode 4 of Love Behind the Lines.
Two months passed. Down in the mine, George and Bess died. Look, it happens all the time. Move on. Fanny nervously buckled her seatbelt and realised she was the only one paying any attention to the safety instructions being given by the flight attendants at the front of the plane.
Yeah, that's quite a leap there. Sorry about that. She's not in the police station anyway. She's on a plane.
Fanny had never flown before and was petrified, but ever since the death of her daughter, she'd needed to get away from Shitlinthorpe. Look, let's press on. Bess died of ecstasy, okay? It's what she would have wanted. We do thank you for your attention at this time, began the flight attendant. In a German accent. Oh,
you read ahead. I'm kidding.
Bonjour, thank you for attention at this time, began the flight attendant in a poor German accent, smoothing down her uniform.
That's very good. Fanny, I really enjoyed writing that bit, thinking I'm going to totally spring that on her.
Fanny thought she looked like an angel with her blonde hair and her pillbox hat. It was temazepam.
Those were the pills.
This was such a new and foreign word to her. She was transfixed. My name is Heidi, and at this time we do welcome you on board this hazard air flight to smouldering pile of rubble airport, formerly Damascus International. We do ask at this time that you pay attention to the following safety information, which we do present to you now. Please do ensure that your tray tables are stowed in the upright position at this time, and that your seatbelt is securely fastened, and that you have made peace with your God, whomsoever he, she, or indeed they may be at this time. Lastly, at this time, we do remind you that the flight attendants are not normal people, wearing makeup generally reserved for people from the 80s and ice skaters. And at this time, we do use the phrase at this time and the word do more often than other people do at this time. Yeah. We do thank you at this time and goodbye forever.
I should just tell you really what Andy suggested for this,
Go
by
on.
The way. So he said that Fanny joins the Mile High Club on a flight. He said Dusseldorf. But, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Possibly with a stewardess.
Oh, wow.
And no ice cubes.
Oh.
And then he gets quite into it. There's a follow-up, like, an hour later. A follow-up tweet from him. He said, yeah, a sexy German stewardess with a stereotypically Teutonic grasp of humour and efficiency. Just so you know.
You're welcome,
this
Andy.
Me.
You're welcome.
Andy's in hog heaven right now.
Excuse me, ventured Fanny nervously. Dear me, that was me being nervous. Excuse me. The flight attendant came over, untroubled by the motion of the taxiing aircraft. Can I help you? Yes, began Fanny nervously. For reasons of expediency, as this is being written with about 10 minutes before the show starting, do you fancy doing some mucky gubbins in the lab with me? Yeah, certainly, replied Heidi. And it was time to play Heidi Fanny. Oh, flipping heck!
Heidi Fanny. It just happened!
In the lab, there wasn't much space, and Heidi's ample...
You suggested Heidi.
Well, I didn't know what on earth I was naming. In the lab, there wasn't much space, and Heidi's ample bosom was crushed against Fanny's face. Heidi was 7 feet tall, which was handy for helping little old ladies with their luggage. Heidi was a strong woman with an assured air and almost Teutonic arrogance. Plus, she was a flight attendant, and I've heard stories about what they get up to in budget hotels in Crawley. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
My sister used to be a flight attendant.
Well, I'm judging her.
Honestly, apparently they all stand in a circle. I've never heard that one.
No.
Heidi planted a brutish kiss on Fanny's lips. Oh, her almost haughty air mingling with the softness of her lips in the way that was intoxicating.
Yeah, you can tell the bits where I get a bit carried away with it.
Heidi, I can tell the bits where we've been for dinner and had a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Heidi had obviously been up the travelodge and done all the mucky gubbins a lot, as she was masterful with Fanny, who was helpless in her arms. Mm. Fanny had never done anything like this before, but submitted to Heidi's authoritative lesbionics. Is that a...
Lesbionics? I don't know. It could be... I don't know.
They were naked now, and Fanny felt her body respond with jolts of excitement and all that, as Heidi grabbed her hair and used it to pull her head down. Flipping heck.
Here we go. Stand by with the dump button, Ed. Stand by.
What time is it?
See, you can never be late enough.
Fanny gratefully savoured every inch of Heidi's taut, Aryan body until she found herself on her knees, one of them right by the flush stud for the toilet. For Fanny, for whom sex with men had always felt somewhat perfunctory experience, this was new territory, and giving pleasure to a woman was even more rewarding than that time she won the best rhubarb jam competition at Shittlingthorpe WI. Yah, groaned Heidi, das ist sehr gut. Voice Krankenhaus. Sorry, that's all the German I know.
It is, actually. Well, apart from Zenf, which is mustard, and that's within this context, it's not
inappropriate.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Fanny couldn't reply. She'd been brought up nicely, knew she'd never talk with your mouth full. Oh, she would have said. She shuddered with excitement of her own as Heidi brought herself to a heaving climax, gently breaking Fanny's nose. Fanny knew her own time would come later, but she was happy for now. She staggered back to her seat, and Heidi handed her some serviettes. Along with a bag of pretzels and some tomato juice. With no ice.
Yes! There you are, Andy. Everything you wanted and more.
Are you happy now, Andy? Are you?
Yeah. Are you happy, Catherine, as producer of this programme?
Happy is a strong emotion.
It's just I've suddenly remembered. You have to do like a programme report thing, don't you? And type up what happened in the show. Is that right?
Yeah, I think certain things don't need to be repeated.
I did not realise that. Sorry about that.
You know MGM and the music?
Mm. Oh, cold. So cold. I'd slightly winced at that. Unbelievable. Well, what happens next? You can decide. Tweet me, at Jake Yapp, JakeYapp, and I will write to your order tomorrow.
You perverts.
They are perverts,
they are
aren't
massive
they?
Perverts.
I mean, he went straight in, like, with, well, yeah, Mile High Club. I mean, apropos of nothing. We were in a police cell in Shittlingthorpe.
It's as if he had it stored up, ready to go.
Yeah. His whole life, he'd been waiting for this moment. I get to dictate the worst mild softcore of all time. Incredible. Anyway, at Jake Yapp, if you've got any suggestions for what
should happen next. I'd be worried
that
this was happening while they were taxiing, because that is against aviation regulations. They should be sitting down with their seatbelts fastened.
That, yeah. Well, and afterwards, no smoking. I don't know. I thought this is sort of a funny story, which is, you know, the Middletons.
I'm aware of their work, yes.
The
party people.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just so distracted because Jem just sent a tweet. He's some of his kids are awake now, so he's still up. Poor man. Just
I hope they weren't listening to that.
No. He hasn't been listening. Good. But he said the 3-year-old just did that thing where they just silently appear at the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
I think I've just lost 5 years of life expectancy.
I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, hello, darling.
It's when they appear in the middle of the night next to your bed and don't say anything. And you half wake up.
Oh, man, that's so hard. Anyway, I didn't know there was a James Middleton. Did you?
Yes, the brother.
Yeah. Well, do you know what he's been doing?
He looks like the Tsar, doesn't he?
He's been yes, he does. Very beardy. Mm-hmm. And going out with Donna Rare.
Yeah.
Who, of course, is related to MacBook. Is that right? He keeps trying to launch cakes and failing.
Didn't he used to do marshmallows?
Yeah, he tried to... Do you remember? They're called Boomph.
Yeah.
And personalised marshmallows for 15 quid!
Why didn't that catch on?
I think that's pretty reasonable, isn't it? 15 quid for marshmallows, showcase.
Who doesn't want to eat their own face?
I think it should be...
Bloody good idea.
He lost a lot of money with his personalised marshmallows. And he's lost more money. All of his cake businesses have been failing. Nice cakes and nice wine. They never worked. And Bumpf, reported a loss of 1.173 million.
Oh.
Which makes me feel better about, you know, what I've lost in the show. It's just dignity. That's
you
it
didn't
from
have
us.
To read that.
Yeah. Good night.
Talk Radio. 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.